Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
So after we take the mug shots, we bring them on down here where they wait to be interviewed by the arresting officer. Trust me, kids, you do not want to be sitting on these benches. We call this place Loserville.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
He's actually kind of funny.
Yeah, is he all there?
Like, mentally?
I think so. It's just not that. Kind of weird.
I mean, should we be worried?
No. No.
Paul Perillo.
Don't forget your Rogaine.
Rogaine. Check.
And don't forget to use it. I can totally tell when you forget your hair just looks thinner.
Using of the Rogaine.
Yeah. And Andy. And Andy?
You have to park so close?
Yeah, what's wrong?
Shouldn't be here.
Andy Hart.
Why is that? I'm not supposed to be within 200 feet of a school.
What?
Or Chuck E. Cheese.
Eric Scalavino.
You guys might not know this, but I consider myself a bit of a loner. I tend to think of myself as a one-man wolf pack.
For now, anyway.
And 6 months ago, I thought, wait a second, could it be? And now I know for sure, I just added to my wolf pack. Four of us wolves. Running around the desert together, looking for strippers.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hey guys, you ready to let the dogs out?
What? Do what?
Let the dogs out.
You know what? Who let the dogs out? Who?
Yes, we are ready to let the dogs out.
Who let the dogs out?
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. I guess I shouldn't be so upbeat. That was a tough one to lose. Not the fact that they lost it, because I all think we had doubts, but the way in which they lost it. They had a chance to win this game, you know, coming into the locker room 14-10, seemingly being able to move the ball on the vaunted Jets defense. And once again, second half, blanked, no adjustments, different team, and ended up with a 28-14 loss. We got a lot to talk about here. PFW in Progress, we're going to do that today for the next 2 hours. 508-543-7482 is the number, and I have to add that it is now the Ace Ticket Hotline. So you can call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. Now, not only do I have to remember the number, which I can't remember, I have to remember that it's the Ace Ticket Hotline.
Poor Ace Ticket.
This job is getting really, really difficult.
Are they a pain in the ace?
All right. And webradio@patriots.com is the email address.
So how much of a raise do we get for that?
Huh?
What's that now?
What's that?
We got new sponsors. This
my ear, my
reflected
earphones.
In my
something wrong with
compensation
my,
package?
My headphones here. I don't know what's
I'll get
going
dessert
on.
Dessert with lunch today?
All right, guys. Tough loss. We've been talking about it for all morning. And there's a lot of things that you can point at.
Yeah.
Well, I think the first thing, and we've talked about this a little bit, is are you down on the defense for what they did against a quarterback in an offense that really struggled early on and Darius Butler allowing plays that?
Yes.
Or are you down on the offense that you thought was going to be your strength all year, you know, your one given go-to whatever, for laying a complete and total egg in the second half?
Yes.
Yeah. I think, yeah,
wow,
both.
You guys are just down on the team.
Well,
on Sunday.
I'm not as down on the defense.
No, on Sunday,
because I expected
I'm down on
these
the team.
Days to come.
Yeah, I just
like this.
I just didn't expect it to come against the bad offense, and it came against the bad offense. You know, and that's what I'm. I understand your point, Andy.
But is it a bad?
It's about expectations. I think it is. I think the Jets are a very limited offense. Now, maybe
I mean,
you know, 8 weeks from now,
they played a pretty good defense in week one.
Maybe 8 weeks from now, when Santonio Holmes is in that mix, and maybe their young guard, Slosson or whatever his name is, a little bit better.
Dustin Keller, LaDainian Tomlinson, who looks like he's got a little spark early in the year.
Listen.
They
kind
of have some of the
based
pieces.
On Sunday, they look like a juggernaut. There's no two ways about
and
it.
And Sanchez played like a guy who's the future at quarterback, not, you know, setting his team back a decade.
I mean, this is now, and I heard this coming in, the cold, hard football facts guy there. What's his
name?
Kerry Byrne.
Bo wasn't good, right?
Two of the three best games in Sanchez's career now. against the Patriots.
You know what that means? He gets up for big games if you're a Jets, you know, fan.
Or the Jets Jets know the Patriots defense pretty well, you know. I don't know. But it is discouraging, you know. But I said last week, I'm not going to get too down if they lose to the Jets. But I was upset by the way they lost this game. And, you know, Paul, you guys just mentioned the defense. I'm just as upset with the offense.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
This was a team loss.
That's why he asked the questions. I said yes and
yes. I know.
You missed a field goal. Your offense sucked in the second half. And I feel confident saying that since the quarterback said they sucked.
Yeah.
And your defense had nothing, had absolutely no answers in the second half.
You know, the second half, to me, the early down play calling, you know, because they were in so many third and longs, that set up the Jets defense to do what it does. And I don't know what they need to do to combat that, but, you know, whether it's running the ball or short passes, you need to get 4 or 5 yards on first down, you know, to keep the other downs manageable. And they just weren't doing that. They were doing it in the first half.
That brings us to why was Fred Taylor just standing on the sideline when he says
he had
healthy.
5 carries all game.
Not great, by the way. He had 11 yards, so let's not pretend
he was gashing them. But if we're going to run
the
ball,
he's also the lead back.
If we're going to run the ball 15 times with our two lead backs, I want it to be 10 and 5 the other way.
Right,
right.
And that's what I didn't understand.
You know,
Ben
now,
Jarvis Green Ellis should not get twice as many carries as Fred Taylor.
Now, Mike Reese blogged and tweeted out that it had nothing to do with injury. It had everything to do with rotation. Well, then I think that's a mistake.
Why is there a rotation?
I think if...
I said to you, it's almost like one of those high school or college
things. Let's
get
Brian Hoyer some reps.
We're going to have Taylor out there in the first and third quarters, and we have Benny out there in the second and fourth. That made no sense
to me. There are light years of difference between Fred Taylor and Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis is not capable of breaking off the 21-yard type runs that Fred Taylor
gives you. Or the 38-yard run that Taylor had. Right. And by the way, I know it was called back for penalty.
Right.
But it had nothing to do with the play. It was a formation penalty.
It was a formation penalty.
It wasn't like a hold on the play.
Why are we rotating? Why are we taking a guy who I think has to be one of your best 11 on first and second down and just choosing to remove him from the game?
The answer is, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know why Sammy Morris wasn't in the game more. You know,
I don't mind that as much.
Well, but he has had success
I could argue
in the NFL.
He has, but to me, there's a dramatic difference between Fred Taylor and Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. And I thought we played our best 11. I thought that was kind of the idea. To play your best players, they give you the best chance to win the game. To me, putting Ben Jarvis Green Ellis out there does not give you the best chance to beat the Jets on Sunday. Maybe there's some theory about monitoring reps and Fred Taylor long term and the ankle, Paul, he's talked about, you know, can get a little sore and whatever. But in terms of Sunday, I don't think Ben Jarvis Green Ellis gives you the best chance to win that football game.
Yeah, I mean, it was curious. And, I, you know, at the time, the only thing I could think of was, oh, okay, Taylor's toe must be bothering him.
But
because
he said it's not.
Well, they're never going to tell you it is if it was.
And by the way, I'd argue the same question about Wes Welker, who in the second half, you know, did he have a head injury from the hit or did he not? Because he came back and played, and if you have a head injury, you don't pick and choose when the head injury is flaring up.
Yeah,
you're either out or you're in, but he was in and out.
That was an ongoing commentary for Andy and I. You know, after he got hit, which a ridiculous cheap shot, by the way.
Yeah.
Really bad
Everyone
cheap
agrees.
Shot. After he got hit, it was almost like they said, we're going to do this baseline concussion thing and take it really seriously and make sure he's okay. And then all of a sudden, 4 plays later, he's in the game for about 4 plays. Then he comes out of the game.
And if you remember, there was even one play. Edelman was on the field, and then they decided they brought in a package. They were going to run a screen to the left side, kind of like the touchdown they had last week. And they put Edelman out there, and I'm saying, well, maybe they're worried that he's going to have to get hit on that play, so we'll put Edelman on the field.
Right.
Then Welker was in on other. There seemed to be no rhyme or reason.
So they
to
didn't
it.
Have the grease boards in the sideline,
but they got outcoached.
But or did they once again overthink this on offense? You know,
I didn't even know. I'm just not to change the subject. There's some more great officiating last night on that original 2-point conversion. I didn't even know this was overturned.
Oh yeah.
Oh
yeah.
My God, that's not even close. That's not even close.
All right, okay, Paul.
They stink.
Paul doesn't like the refs.
They're terrible.
But getting back, I mean, did with all these different formations and the, you know, rotating in Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, taking Wes Welker out, are they thinking too much? Are they giving too much credit?
Well, I mean, maybe Wes Welker's not ready to play every week full games. I don't know.
And that's the out.
That's fair.
That's the out that Andy and I eventually came to, is maybe it's not a head injury.
Yeah.
Even though he got hit high like that, maybe he's not dealing with a head injury and it's monitoring of some other nature.
That's fair.
He's got some other injury or it's just the knee.
Right.
He's just not ready to play 70 plays yet.
That's a fair
And if that's
point.
The case, then I have no problem.
There's nothing you can do. I mean, it is what it is.
Right. But and again, they wouldn't tell you that, but that's a fair point.
Exactly.
Right. Yep. All right.
There's a lot of criticism to go around, though. This is one of those where I really think when Bill comes out and says, we got outplayed in all three phases, we got outcoached, I think there were aspects truly in all of that. This was a team loss. I didn't think they coached to their best. They clearly didn't make any adjustments in the second half, because if they did, they were terrible adjustments.
Right.
So I think this is one of those team losses. I know it frustrates fans. My mother actually said something to me. She gets sick and tired of hearing Belichick come to the podium and say the same answer after every loss, but I actually think this one was real. It was an all-around laid an egg in the second half.
Any positives?
Aaron Hernandez looked good.
Yeah,
Aaron Hernandez, I think, would be a huge positive in that game, showing exactly what we've seen on the practice field, the zigzagging, you know, always cutting back inside.
Wow. I'd like to give the scouting report to future defenders. He's always cutting it back. He always cuts it back. His initial move is always cut back to the middle so that the safety run or the inside linebacker runs by and he can beat that initial guy. Scouting report, Andy Hart, always cuts the inside.
Okay.
Just saying.
What about Jermaine Cunningham? Did we see anything that gives us hope for him this year?
I saw a play,
yeah,
which was good. I saw that, you know, I think it was the first play he was on the field. They tried the Wildcat with Brad Smith, and they did a reverse, and he did a nice job of staying exactly where he was supposed to be, setting the edge the way we talk about that position, and I think they had 2 yards, a Cotchery reverse. Clearly, when you run those kinds of plays, you're looking for
big play.
You're looking for something more than, you know, just a positive gain. You're looking for a first down at least.
Paul, you like it when Rob Ninkovich flashes in the backfield and lets somebody run by
Andy,
him. You're big on those.
Andy, again, you just astound with your ability to
annoy,
exaggerate.
That
no
was
one
terrible.
Is suggesting that it's a good play to flash and then allow a running back to run by you.
For 31
again,
yards.
I would defend Rob Ninkovich there. And if he's supposed to be taking down LaDainian Tomlinson in the open field, something wrong with the rest of the 10 guys on the field in that play.
I didn't see a lot on defense that I liked. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Well, this is my concern is I know we're going to ride this roller coaster. I read Andy's commentary, and I think he's right.
2 weeks in, I'm feeling pretty good about
that
commentary.
I think you're absolutely right. I'm prepared. And listen, there's probably going to be another upcoming this week with a bad Buffalo offense coming in.
And then you go
to
Miami.
I thought the Jets were one of those teams that they would look better against. That's what is concerning to me. I thought there was, you know, sure, Indy,
San Diego,
you know,
Green Bay. Right,
yeah, I was expecting to give up 30-plus to those teams, but the Jets could have scored 30 on Sunday.
Right.
I mean, they came damn close. And I don't think that's a team that's going to score 30 without defensive points an awful lot. And that was not aided by the defense, even though they forced two turnovers there, three turnovers, actually. They weren't – that's not the reason they scored. They had long drives that they scored on.
Well, the Patriots have some work to do, because even in that first game, you know, you take away, you know, we were poo-pooing it last week. You take away the defensive touchdown, you take away the special teams touchdown, you know, and what do you got? They didn't have that this week, and they only had 14 points. So, you know, they've got to pick it up on offense, I think. Obviously, the defense, we figured that would be a work in progress, but you know, I'm more disappointed at the offense right now at this point in time than I am the defense.
Well, I kind of agree, but I also kind of – that's a good defense that they played.
It is. It is. But to do what they didn't do in the second half, I mean, they showed no hope in the second half.
But I think what happens is when you have some success again – I mean, the Jets are a very good defense, but you come out and you drive the ball the length of the field, you miss a field goal. Then you drive the ball the length of the field and get a touchdown, and people think that defense isn't really good. Like, they expect you to be able to do that all day. Well, that doesn't happen.
Right.
And we've seen, listen, Minnesota is struggling offensively right now, but defensively, that's a really good defense. We saw the opening game, the kickoff against New Orleans. First drive was as easy as can be for New Orleans. Well, the Vikings completely shut them down the rest of the way.
Right.
You know, same thing with the Vikings against Miami this past week. The Miami took the opening kick right down the field, 7-0. That was basically all they had on offense the rest of the game. Good defenses, even the best defenses, they don't throw shutouts every week. They, you know, you move the ball a little bit, but they make plays too.
They're averaging 12 points a game against playoff teams, right?
Yeah.
They've given up 24 points in 2 weeks against playoff teams from a year ago. 12 points a game is pretty good now, right?
Well, I guess, but
you guess
you don't give the Jets any credit. Oh, the Jets!
The Jets, yeah. Absolutely, the Jets have
a good team. I'm talking about the Jets.
But the Patriots are supposed to have one of the best offenses.
And
maybe
it was good last year. It wasn't great, and we're projecting all these new pieces as making it great again.
See, I think they do have a very good offense. You know, I think that people are going to continue to compare it to 07. And I think
I think
the three of us have been on this from the start.
That's not fair.
That was a special season.
There's a difference between 07 and great for the league you're in that year. And I think we all thought this was going to be a top couple offense, right? That you'd be saying top five, New Orleans, whatever.
Top five.
I still think that.
Well, yeah. Then I'm with Fred. Then I'm a little disappointed.
Yes.
Because I think we were projecting. We were adding weapons. It wasn't a great offense last year in my mind. It was a good offense.
Even Belichick said yesterday on WEEI that they have more options than they did last year. I was surprised.
Well, that's fact. You can't dispute it.
I'm surprised he said that. That, you know, we have options this year that we didn't have last year.
Because it's fact.
And, okay, so
doesn't mean you're going to make the most of them and maximize and utilize them.
That tells me that I think the offense should be better than it was last year because Brady's the one choosing those options.
Right, and it may be.
You know?
They played a very good defense in week two.
So that's why I'm disappointed right now at the offense.
I agree.
You can't help but be disappointed.
Yeah.
You can't. I think they're better than what they showed in the second
half. I'm hoping they are.
But I'm not surprised.
Doubt has crept into Fred's head.
I'm just not surprised
they didn't rack up 30-plus points against the Jets on Sunday. I have more respect for the Jets' defense than that.
Well, it's week two, and it's impossible to come up with definitives and conclusions after week two. Just like last week, you know, the Jets fans were in our boat. We're now in their boat in week two. But most people predicted
this game to be like 17-14, 6. So they weren't that far. Most people predicted a Patriots win in the teens.
Right.
They got in the teens.
17-13 was
the biggest difference was the 28. Most people didn't expect 28. It's why I asked you guys last week percentages of either team getting to 28, and you guys had the Jets at 20% or something.
Well, if someone was going to get there, I would have said the Patriots.
Right. Right.
No question.
But everybody predicted the Patriots to have in the teens.
I did.
So they were.
That's why I'm.
They were,
oh,
by the way,
the
a made field goal from having 17 points, right where you all predicted them.
I'm disappointed with both sides, but I thought the defense was really, really bad.
The defense stunk. The only thing I think is a positive on this defense so far is I think I'm starting to feel okay about the run defense.
Yeah.
Gerard Warren and Ron Brace and kind of the bodies, and I think they can formulate week to week a pretty solid run defense.
I agree. Hey, joining us right now on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482 is Eldridge in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge. Eldridge. All right, that was the Ace Ticket Hotline.
It's apparently broken.
Great debut for that.
It's not broken.
Is that new technology?
He's just either asleep or put you on hold or something silly like that.
Silly.
Okay.
That's silly.
Can we get tickets for free for other events through Ace?
I doubt it.
Maybe.
About it.
Well, let's go to an email then at webradio@patriots.com.
Hopefully Frederick, that's still there.
Frederick in Denmark says, what the hell happened on Sunday? I know you said on Thursday that you wouldn't be upset over a loss to the Jets, but come on.
Who said that?
I did.
Fred said
you
he
said
was
you
expecting
wouldn't be
ups-
it.
I did.
You said you wouldn't
prepared.
Be upset.
I won't be upset if the Patriots lose to the Jets.
He said he was prepared.
I must have been on an acid trip when he said that.
I was prepared emotionally.
I would have been stunned to hear that.
I was prepared emotionally for it, but I find out that I wasn't.
Maybe the team took the same approach.
You picked the Patriots to win.
I did.
So why would you have not been? I don't understand.
Because he always picks the Patriots to win.
No, but usually he thinks they're going to win when he picks.
No, I still thought that they were going to win. I just said emotionally I was prepared for a loss because
Preparing to lose.
It's week two.
Losing.
I even looked at you and said it's you know highly doubtable that the Jets will lose two games in a row at home, you know,
at that dump.
Even Sanchez can slice this D up. No pass rush, no covers, especially from Butler, who seems to be Hobbs 2.0. Last year, it was Butler.
I disagree.
Hobbs was never that close.
Hobbs was 5 yards away. Butler is in the guy's pocket and can't make a play. There is a difference. It's not good either way.
Last year, I was on the Butler bandwagon, but now I'm off. Wow. He has shown nothing, and if Bodden wasn't injured, he definitely would be a slot corner. I know the offense also played a horrific second half, just like last year, and yes, they have to score more than 14 points, but the offense is not the problem. The defense is. I know they're young, will improve, but I can't see it being enough. What are we going to do, guys? By the way, H-bomb all the way.
Well, he looks good.
Well, I am upset at the offense. I think Brady will get it together. He does have more options. They're legitimate options. you know, Kyle Wilson made a great play on that one pass down the seam to Gronkowski, or else that would have been a 25-yard pickup. I think he's going to be able to make hay. I think Edelman's going to be mixed in. By the way, I was surprised they didn't use him more in the second half.
They used him some at the cost of Welker at times.
Yeah. But I think he does have the option. I think the offense will come around.
I think the Jets just did a good job in the second half.
I do too.
I didn't see a lot of guys breaking wide open. And I know that's been it's been sort of chalked up that they got away from what worked in the first half. I think the Jets did a good job of taking some of the stuff that worked in the first half away. I think they changed some things. And I don't think they went as recklessly with the blitz in the second half as they did with the first. They picked their spots.
No, they certainly did.
Matter of fact, there was one play when it was 28-14 that it looked like they were bringing everybody from around midfield on that drive that ended with Brady getting strip sacked by Jason Taylor. And I looked at Andy. I said, do they know they have a 14-point lead? What are they doing? It looked like they were sending everybody. But, you know, for whatever they I thought they had the linebackers a little bit deeper. And in the first half, those guys were blitzing, I thought, the whole time and not getting there. I thought the line initially did a good job in pass protection. As the game wore on, I thought the Jets picked their spots and got there a little bit more frequently.
To file under take a shot, everybody had this theory that Brandon Tate was going to be the guy opposite Moss, stretch the field. Have they even taken a shot with him yet?
No.
I haven't seen him go downfield.
And I'm talking literally take a shot to put it in the back of somebody's
mind. I don't know about his route running, but they haven't thrown to him.
I'm just saying, you run straight, I'll throw deep, you run fast, catch. Very simple, not any technical, just to pose it as a possibility opposite Moss.
And by the way, the Bills, one thing they do have is a pretty good secondary, so it may not be the week to try that next week either.
Well, I think maybe just to get, I'm talking about get it on tape. The whole theory of get it out there that, you know what, Tate will try to stretch the field on you.
Right.
Because these options, if you don't use them properly, the options don't work. You got to maximize your options. They didn't do that in the second half. Although G-Force was this close.
Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-543-7482. Web radio at patriots.com.
Web radio, email. That wascoy wabbit. This Dwexer's way pissing me off.
It's hunting season. Gonna get a wabbit.
Better get a buffalo.
Men, says Cormac, that really sucked. After Moss's wonder catch, I thought everything was going to be swell, but how things can change. I guess Rex gave his boys some super bleeding snacks at the halftime. So what is it about second halves of this team? What is it with Brady throwing ridiculous long balls to Moss when he's not open? In the second half, I remember him throwing four speculative passes to Moss. The result was two incompletions and two interceptions. Crazy decision-making. There was no need to throw those balls. Reminded me of Brady's useless lobs up to Moss on the final drive at that end of game that shall not be mentioned. Fred Taylor was obviously banged up, but I don't hear much about that. Why else would Bill keep his best back on the bench and have the law firm taking so many touches? Fred Taylor would have been used a hell of a lot more if his toe was all healed. I'm worried about that going forward. I honestly don't blame the defense any more than I blame the offense. Sure, our inexperienced secondary got beat by Sanchez, but I feel our offense really let us down in the second half. You got to score at least a field goal. I don't think many teams that go scoreless in the second half win games. But let's please not overreact. I still think McCurdy has great potential. I think the D gave up some plays, but in some sense, by late in the third quarter, it just fell over mentally for the team. They just seemed to soften up way too much. But last week after the Bengals win, we all thought we were the bee's knees.
I was going to say, why can't we overreact this week? We overreacted last week. Well,
now we think we suck. It's somewhere in between. It's week two. Sadly, there'll be worse days, sadly, than this, but they'll also be better. That says Cormac. So,
and welcome the Bills to town.
It is only week two.
It's a good opponent coming
but
in.
But I think Paul mentioned at the top of the show, the one thing that I think you have to say it's week two, but a lot of what happened in 09 is carrying over here. Not just this week, in week one, too. That second half in week one was not that great. And they were not in a prevent defense. Okay, a lot of people said,
I think we pretty much answered that this week.
Yeah.
They you know, weren't. It was a 14-10 lead this week, and the same thing happened this week that happened last week.
They weren't in a, you know, so we have, that's what I worry about is that second half, you know, and we talked about it when we were filming our PFW show today, which will be on Comcast this Thursday at 7:30, by the way.
And Patriots.com on Friday.
Right. You know, to me, it's telling me that going into these games, they're getting leads, so the game plan is a good one. You know, it's a good game plan going in. But after the other team makes adjustments at halftime, maybe they don't have the talent to adjust themselves.
I'm not sure it's just talent. Tully Bantakame poo-pooed it. I asked him about experience, that experience allows you on the field to make adjustments because you've seen things. He kind of poo-pooed it and say, you can recognize stuff, whatever. You still have to make plays, young or old. I don't necessarily poo-poo it like that. I think there is a reservoir in your brain of things you've seen, adjustments. Oh, yeah. They did. And even putting two and two together, saying, you know, in the first half, Dustin Keller did X, and they're probably thinking, okay, I'm going to do Y. So they might go. I just think there is a cat and mouse game there that guys like Rodney Harrison and Teddy Bruschi and Ty Law and Mike Vrabel play in their own heads. They don't necessarily need Matt Patricia to tell them exactly X, Y, Z here. They can do it themselves. I think there's a value in that. I'm not sure it's just physical. As I said, I think Butler is physical. That's an issue in and of itself, making plays when he's in the area. But the rest of it, why would you expect it to be different? It's mostly the same players, right? It's Rob Ninkovich. It's Tully Bantakame.
Well, one of the reasons we think it could improve is that Belichick said he's going to spend more time with the defense. They got rid of Dean Pease for a reason. He's
not on the field. He's not in their head.
I understand.
They can only, you know, do so much.
But there's a reason why they got rid of Dean Pease. As much as Dean Pease was a good guy.
Yeah, they didn't have the talent, and they found out.
Well, okay.
No, I'm just saying, why do you believe it's going to be that much better? Because Patrick Chung's playing? He's never played before.
No, I'm not disagreeing with you, but they didn't get rid of Dean Pease because they didn't have talent. You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't really.
I don't know why Dean Pease is not on the staff anymore, to be honest. I'm not knowledgeable enough to comment on if that's because they didn't want him on the staff anymore or because he didn't want to be on the staff anymore. I don't know the answer to that.
I don't. I think they let him go, right?
And
then he immediately went to the Ravens to become a linebacker coach.
Hey, well, there's also, I mean, you can believe whatever stories you want. There's also stories that were written at the time that said he wanted out. I don't know that's what I'm saying. I don't have the knowledge there.
Okay.
I don't have enough information.
There was some disconnect there. Something was going on. You know? Donovan is.
But you yourself just said he was the problem, and yet the same problems exist in the first 2 weeks.
I did not say he was the problem. You're not listening to me.
I said it was talent, and you said it wasn't talent.
You said why? I think it's talent.
You said it's the same guys.
Right.
Why would you think they'd be better this year? Why do you think that they think they'll be better this year? I said because, you know,
Belichick.
Right, because I'm not saying that that's going to be why they're going to be better, but if you're thinking they could be better with the same guys, that's why. Because they got rid of
them. You already said, same problems, week two of the new season, same problems as last year, and I'm saying, well, Dean Pease is gone, so maybe you shouldn't be kicking him still.
That's true. I'm not disagreeing with you. But I'm saying that they thought they made that change for a reason. So they're thinking that should be you don't get rid of a defensive coordinator, if he's doing a good job.
If you think he has talent that he's not maximizing, but then you get in the role and you don't maximize it, so people might say, the talent's not there.
That could be
a proper line of thinking?
That could be the conclusion that you come up with ultimately. Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. But what I'm saying is they expected an improvement in that area, defensive coordination.
Right.
From last year to this year, don't you think?
Yes.
Or else they wouldn't have made that move.
Well, I think they is Bill Belichick. I think he thinks he can do the job as
better.
Well or better than anyone on the planet.
And the only part of that that I don't know about, everything you said is logical, Fred. I just don't know if they made a move intentionally. That's all.
Okay.
I don't have enough information to know if this is the way they wanted it.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if he'd want to leave here and go to another
team. But to me, that's irrelevant to the question. Even...
No,
Belichick thinks he's better than Pease in his own mind. There's no doubt in my mind.
Well, yes, obviously.
Whether he fired him or the guy left or whatever, they went their separate ways. Bill says, okay, I'll coach the defense and we'll have an upgrade there in the coaching because I'm better. And I think all guys should say that. I think Rex Ryan should say that. I think any offensive coordinator who takes over the play calling on his team feels he's the best option. That's fine. But the bottom line is the same problems exist under Belichick that existed under Pease. I think the next step in logic as these continue is talent.
And it was coaching last year.
Right.
And now it's talent.
Right.
I think the point that you're trying to make.
My point is it was talent all along.
Well, ultimately that would be
some of the talent was overrated.
Right.
Brandon Merriweather isn't even a starter
ultimately,
anymore.
Ultimately that would be the conclusion you would come up with.
Pro Bowl safety Brandon Merriweather was. I said he sucked and now Bill benched him.
That's another interesting thing that
I didn't really say he sucked. I'm sorry.
He does not suck, as Fred read on the email at that time. But clearly, PFW has been down on him and getting a lot of criticism for it. Well, Bill is obviously a little down on him right now, too. That's another aspect we haven't even touched on. He's not part of the base defense.
And Brandon Merriweather was on EEI yesterday and said that he has not been performing well in practice, freelancing a little bit, kind of trying to do things his own way instead of what the coaches have been telling to do. And he's been sent a message, according to Merriweather, that, you know, just because you're Brandon Merriweather, you can't do whatever the hell you want. And he's losing reps because of it. You know, now
I don't really understand it because I think he's been the same guy since he's been here. So I don't know when he was freelancing, when he wasn't, when he was doing as he was told, when he wasn't. To me, the holes and weaknesses in his game have been apparent all along. Right? I mean, he has struggles tackling. He's out of position at times. He gives up big plays, you know, blows a coverage here or there. All those have flared up at various points in his career.
And that tight end in the middle continues to be a problem, whether he's on the field or not. You can't blame it all on him. I mean, that's...
Oh, no, no, no.
Dustin Keller was open all day from the first play of the game to the last play of the game.
All right. Well, we're going to be open until 2 o'clock for business. Right now, we're going to take a quick break.
The breaks is actually in the room with us.
When we come back, we'll get to your calls and emails.
When the boss says it...
For those that want Patriot Talk with other talk radio stations are talking other stuff, go to Patriots.com and listen to PFW in Progress.
You have to do it. PFW in Progress on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
Hey, don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules. Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains!
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game,
but,
5 yards,
but
first down.
But you're not...
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A. Bank of America N.A. member PIC. Copyright 2009. Bank of America Corporation.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay. Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. You want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on a New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together and talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
Tuesday's edition of PFW in Progress featured Fred flying solo.
Well, Milo was there.
I'm not the brightest guy in the world.
Everything seemed to be going well until this topic came up.
If anyone has used the contraption called the Nut Wizard, I think you can find it at nutwizard.com. It's not what you think. It's for picking up, like, acorns in your yard. I have a ton of acorns, so I'm looking for the best way to pick up acorns in my yard without breaking my back, you know? So I saw this thing. It's like a cage with spokes, and you roll it, and supposedly it just picks up the acorns. But I want to, before I, it's like $49. I don't want to buy it, you know, if it only works half the time or whatever. Or if someone has a better way to pick up acorns.
Now, back to the Nut Wizard. I mean, Fred, and hopefully the rest of the PFW boys.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. We're trying to dissect and analyze this game. And, yeah, I mean, it is disappointing. It's a tough loss, but it is only week two. I still believe they're going to have a good offense. I see some signs of the defense. I don't know what they're going to do at cornerback.
But what is a good offense? You know, we got an email, asked PFW, saying, is this going to be a case of where they, you know, they're fine against non-playoff teams, but when they play the elite, they're not going to be able to compete?
It can't be. If it is, then hang it up.
Wow.
You know, because it's all about winning games in January. So, you know, Paul, we were talking about early in the office, Pittsburgh is on the radar. I mean, all they've done is win, keep the house warm until Roethlisberger, and they're doing it with their defense. So that's another
team. With absolutely no offense at all.
Right.
They've made one offensive play in 2 weeks, and that was Andy's guy, Mendenhall's overtime touchdown run. 2 weeks of football, they've made one play offensively, and they're 2-0.
But they have playmakers on defense. I see Troy Polamalu flying all around the field with his hair flat.
If they get, you know, I don't know how good their offense is going to be even with Roethlisberger, because, you know, they lost Holmes. Yeah, it's basically just Hines Ward now and Mike Wallace outside. I'm not sure how good they are and how diverse they are. But if they can win games with no quarterback play, I mean, they threw for 23 yards, I think, on Sunday and won. And they won easily. I mean, they were in control of the game. I know they had a special teams touchdown, but they were in control of the game from start to finish. Forced 7 turnovers in that game. That's a team I really, honestly, I didn't have among the elite. I didn't have them in the picture, and now I might have to put them in there.
Yeah. Speaking of that, Thomas from Canada says, did you guys see what the Steelers did to the Titans on Sunday? I speak not only of the overall beating they gave, but more specifically about the 3-man body slam on Vince Young in the fourth quarter where they dropped him right on his head. He did not return to the game. I could watch the video of that on YouTube all day, but I can't help but think if that was Tom Brady, people would be freaking out about it, but it didn't even make the highlights on NFL Game Day. Any thoughts?
I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it
either.
Because
it didn't make the highlights. I'll have to YouTube it.
Oh, by the way, I got to side with Ray Lewis in that Baltimore game. They
What a travesty.
The refs, I mean, the Terrell Suggs and Ray Lewis, both of them were just terrible calls.
The Suggs got called. I'm sure, Andy, you didn't see it.
No, but I heard the rant, and I was thinking, haven't I heard that before here?
It was the same thing, but I think that he was even more in the right this time.
Oh, absolutely.
Suggs' pass, roughing the passer was like Vince Wilfork's against Trent Edwards
Not
in the
even.
Opener. He hit him right in the midsection, didn't tackle him overly hard, didn't lead with his helmet, nothing. He hit him in the only spot that you're supposed to be able to hit a guy. That gave him a field goal. And Ray Lewis comes flying in on a blitz and get knocked over, and he went to the ground and rolled, and the quarterback tripped over his feet. And they called him for tripping. He had absolutely no idea where he was at the time. I don't care. No one can convince me that he tripped him on purpose.
No, I got to side with Lewis on
and
that
I hate
one. That was
Lewis.
Ridiculous.
Everybody knows that.
That was ridiculous.
Cost him a football game.
Yeah.
You know, and how funny was it? You know how close they came to winning another game, 10-9? I mean, without those two calls, they win 10-9. That's not even one of those butterfly effects. They would have won the game 10-9.
Which brings up the point, Flacco is the one not having the good year. Forget
Four
about
picks.
Sanchez.
4 picks.
Yeah. Forget about Sanchez.
Still early, Fred. You can't assess anything
right
now.
No, you can't. Mike in Pensacola, my question has to do with Brandon Merriweather and his limited role in defense the first two games. What do you think Belichick's line of thinking is on this? I think it may have something to do with the young secondary that the Pats have this year, and that leadership for that unit is needed on the field, and Jimmy fits that role perfectly while Brandon is immature and may not be able to handle it. Also, how much might this have to do with the end of the year when the unit played better the last month of the season with Sanders taking over from McGowan. Also, have you heard anything about Kevin Faulk's injury? I'm really concerned because there isn't anyone currently on the team that can fill the role he does in the offense. And finally, I have a question for Eric. Why is he wants to know why is man-to-man his favorite defense. That's not right.
I like how he stops himself from saying it, but then he says.
He pulls an Andy. I wasn't going to say, but I say.
So what do you think? Sanders for Merriweather.
I think it's a tremendous move.
It's a plausible reason. You know, maybe they wanted Sanders, you know, sort of no-nonsense veteran leadership out there over Merriweather's. But I have to think it's Merriweather's just not doing something that they want him to do physically. You know, this practice thing, there has to be something to it. We heard rumblings about it heading into the opener. Mike Reese talked about it. And now you saw I think that they're gone right now with Chung. And the other guy.
For good reason. I think he tries to play like Merriweather to some degree, but he's better at it. He's a more of a physical presence. You've said he may be Bob Sanders and that he can't last.
Yeah, I question how long
he's going to
be able to last.
He throws his body around, and to me, he does it better than Merriweather tries to do it.
And I wonder if it's just a, you know, kind of a run-stopping thing, too. That, you know, they have the better tackler out there, Sanders, who, you know, and ironically, I've actually seen Merriweather on a couple of occasions this season really make nice tackles on situations where an 8-yard gain can quickly turn into a 20-yarder, but he's been there. He did one on Sunday to LT. A lot of green to both sides, and Sanders made a nice tackle. I mean, Merriweather made a nice tackle. So, ironically, I think the biggest Achilles heel to his game, he looks like he's improved a little bit,
maybe
but he's not
getting
playing.
The message on some level.
Yeah. Stop going for those big hits and wrap up like you're supposed to.
He said some of that on the radio yesterday, that he did get it and it's his fault and all that.
Yeah.
Maybe he really is getting it. We'll see.
Okay, 508-543-7482. Joining us on the Ace Ticket Hotline is Matt from Springfield. Matt, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you guys?
We're doing great.
Hey, Ace Ticket Hotline, you know, pretty soon you guys are going to have email sponsored by Badger Silver.
Oh, why that?
I like it.
Or Trojan, you know, Trojan would be all right. But hey, I got two things. Is Ben Jarvis, Green, Mile, Ellis Hobbs a better running back than Fred Taylor?
No.
So why is he getting more reps?
It's a great question.
We don't know.
I don't know if it's injury related to Taylor. He did show up on the injury report last week with a toe injury. But if it's turf toe, Andy, you know, who knows? That's a painful injury for a running back.
It's like a downgrade. You know, you're laughing
at TOW.
Yeah, you're a toe injury like
you
had a trailer hitch.
You get upgraded to the number one running back position. It's a downgrade. He's playing the role of Lawrence Maroney this year.
Yeah, I was surprised by that on Sunday. I don't know if it has anything to do with health. That's the only thing that I'm not going to kill anybody when I don't have all the information. Maybe they just didn't want Taylor out there for all those carries because they don't feel like he's fully 100%.
That's a killable offense.
True. He looked all right
if
there
he's not
that
100%?
39-yard run that got called back.
If he's hurt, then
that's
he should be out
if
there.
He's not 100%.
But if he's hurt, then I don't know that he should have started the game because you're either hurt or you're not hurt.
True.
That's quite profound.
The Patriots' schemes I have a problem with. I'm very confused. Now, Mike Reese made a point where the sub runs, okay? The Jets made a package where to put the Patriots' sub package on the field, and they ran on that. Now, Bill Belichick has always said he likes versatile players. I think the Patriots are the most unversatile team in the NFL. From first to second down, if there's a two-yard gain on first down, half the team comes off the field, and another half comes on.
Well, I think part of that problem is their quote-unquote base defense I don't think is all that good. And if at all, they want to get caught in their sub-defense rather than their base defense. Because I don't think they feel like they're that great when they have their quote-unquote first-down regular defense out there. I don't think they feel they're that good. So I don't think they feel like they give up that much if they bring in an extra linebacker or bring in an extra DB. They're not that stout in any way.
I think they fared well against the run.
I do, too. I think Brace and Warren, Gerard, have been nice little surprises to start the year. I feel pretty good about him.
And Brandon Spikes, I see him busting up the middle with those red gloves. He's just busting up the middle, which leaves him vulnerable to play action, you know, every once in a while. But, you know, I think, give him a try on third down every once in a while. Gary Guyton doesn't make any kind of impact except that one play last week.
I thought you were forgetting that, the 59-yard touchdown. He has no impact on these games.
Yeah, true. And another thing, guys, now, I remember Andy's bit on Rashard Mendenhall a couple drafts ago. Why isn't there a bit with Eric and Golden Tate? This guy said Golden Tate in the draft so many times I had nightmares. I'm like mumbling in my sleep, Golden Tate, Golden Tate. Go back and listen to how many times this guy says Golden Tate during the draft. Just check it out.
He fell in love with Golden Tate, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, in Eric's defense, he didn't stop paying attention to the draft once Golden Tate was drafted by somebody else, though.
Well, yeah. In Andy's defense, my guy's actually good. Where is Golden Tate? What's he doing?
Yeah, he hasn't done anything, right?
Jag.
Yeah. Okay, guys, that's all I got.
All right, see, man.
All right. Yep. That is Matt from Springfield. Thanks for calling.
He's the first caller on the Ace Ticket hotline, right?
Sort of.
Well, now he's the first one to actually
make it to the air. Yeah.
Right. You know, we have the lines are open now. I know a lot of people trying to get through.
We do have an open line at 508-543-7482.
Quick aside.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen those commercials for, I think, DirecTV with the semi-hot girl and a couple guys sitting on the couch and their uniforms change?
Yeah.
Is the guy Jimmy Farris, the wide receiver who played here, the redhead?
Oh, I don't know.
I swear it's him. Paul, watch it, and when you see it, he sits to the left of the girl.
Does he have a hat on backwards?
No.
I wouldn't recognize
like
Jimmy
him.
Farris unless he had a hat
really,
on backwards.
That commercial really bothers me.
Why?
At the end, the way she raises her hand and then looks. People at football games, they don't do what she did in that.
Yeah, but
I have to point it out.
I really need to see the commercial.
I kind of like it.
Oh, she's cute.
It kind of makes it move.
Yeah.
Oh, for God's sake.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh,
I think she's cute.
You get hard when the wind blows.
Take me.
Everybody can, and like strippers and some of our more educated listeners, keep an eye out. Jimmy Farris may be in a commercial, because didn't he have, wasn't he in, from the West
Coast?
He had
entertainment connections.
Yeah, so he was in the entertainment industry.
Yeah.
I swear it's
him. It was more like rapping and stuff, hip-hop.
Yeah, I know, but maybe he's diversified.
Matt in Sacramento here.
Diversification, as you would say.
Matt in Sacramento on webradio at patriots.com. I have really enjoyed the show for the last 4 years now and rarely miss an episode, although I do wait for the podcast in the evening.
That's fine.
I finally felt I had to write in because I'm really frustrated sitting here watching the game, and I can tell what play the offense is going to run 75% of the time. The play seems to always be a run for 2 yards or Brady chucking the ball as far as he can to see if Randy will catch it. In the beginning of the Jets game, the offense looked balanced, at least in the number of receivers getting open and making plays. But as the game got tighter and then we fell behind, it seemed like every possession would hinge on a deep ball to Moss. With so many offensive weapons at receiver and tight end, why aren't we using them? I like Randy Moss. I think he's a great player. I just don't think that every possession should be a run for a couple of yards, a run for a couple of yards, and then a bomb to Moss. It seems like that has become our offense. Am I wrong, or has the offense become pretty bland?
Well, I don't want to pretend I'm talking to my wife here, but those runs aren't designed to gain a couple of yards.
Right.
They're designed to be successful running plays. They're just not.
They're looking for 4 or 5 yards, not 1 or 2 for openers. And I think you can criticize the Patriots' offense for a lot of things, but I don't think being bland is one of them. I think they use a variety of personnel groups, a variety of formations, and this year, especially over last year, they have a variety of options now that legitimately can make big plays. Aaron Hernandez was really an afterthought in the opener. He had the one big play. That was the only time I think they even looked at him.
Yep.
This past week, he was a big part. I mean, 6 catches for 101 yards. He was a big part of things. Gronkowski, you know, again, not really much in the first game. A couple of times they looked at him for big plays in the second game. Now, you know, I think he only made one catch, but they had another one that they
just
looked
missed.
For. You know, Welker and Edelman, we already talked about. The guy that I think would be sort of, and Andy, you touched on this, is Brandon Tate. We haven't seen really anything out of him. We haven't seen them really look at him
right,
at all.
Right.
And I don't know if that's because he's not ready to be looked at yet or if.
Right.
You know, it's maybe an error in.
His flower hasn't bloomed.
No,
yet.
But maybe it's an error. Maybe it's an error in the way that they're
their
game planning, and
they
haven't sent it. Andy made the mention that Joey Galloway.
Does he need to
bloom
shoot
him down
for you
the field.
Tell him to go deep?
Right. That's what I'm saying. They haven't really done that with him.
I'm not saying count on him for timing patterns and slants and in cuts and all this. Send him deep and try to make a play. He's a playmaker.
But I don't
supposedly.
Think they have a bland offense. I
don't
do think
either.
That they. They fall into the
it looked a little bland in the second half.
They fall, but anytime you're not moving the ball, you look bland.
That's right.
You
know, they only had how many
defense,
plays?
Right. Against a very good defense.
But when you have, anytime you, this the one criticism I would say that's accurate that where I think they can get somewhat predictable is that incomplete pass on first down, you can bet is going to get followed up by a run. And when the run is stuffed, you're basically just inviting third and longs.
Right.
And Brady said we had way too many third and longs in that game the other day, and it was a joke.
is the way he termed it. Some of that, I think, was self-inflicted. I think that putting Benny out there on second and 10 is not the best way to get a third and short, in my opinion. If you're going to run the ball, I want Fred Taylor running the ball.
Right.
And
he knows how to get
I'd rather
right.
not
He's
run
been
on,
doing this a long time.
I think second and 10 is a very common running down in the NFL. I don't really understand why.
Just one other quick thing. And the theory behind throwing to Moss in the second half isn't all that flawed. They got Revis out of the game, and Cromartie, in my mind, is a rich man's Otis Smith. He makes plays and gives them up. So I don't really have
Give
a
him credit.
Huge
he
problem.
Played great in the second half.
Combine that with the fact that Welker wasn't out there all the time, and maybe that's your best option. You think Moss on Cromartie gives you a chance to make some plays. It didn't work.
Yeah.
Cromartie stepped up. Give him credit for that, but I don't think it's terrible logic that you got their best corner out. You got a matchup you might like.
I think that's a great point.
The one play that got intercepted after being batted on the sideline, there were like three jets around Moss. You can't tell me that someone else wasn't open.
I'm just saying the philosophy isn't totally flawed.
I know.
And that one, I also want to give Moss credit. A lot of people try to criticize him for not making plays on the ball. I think he can do what he did on that play every single play, basically. He has long arms, he's very lanky, and tip the ball up. That's what happens if you tip it up too often. More often than not, there's going to be a safety or another defender coming that's going to pick the ball off. So I think he, in terms of those fighting for the ball, I think he's one of those damned if he does and damned if
yeah.
he doesn't. People don't want to see him
and
do good.
I really agree with Andy's larger point here. I think that had it been successful in the second half and Moss caught two touchdown passes, people would have looked at that and said, what great coaching.
Right.
They recognized a weakness and they went after it. Now, Revis is the best player on the field for the Jets. He's out of the game. It makes sense that you want to try to look at that. I think they only threw four. Didn't they only throw four passes to him in the second half?
I believe so.
Because six out of the 10 were in the first half. I mean, give the Jets credit. They covered him. They had him. I mean, Cromartie, and this is not the first time, by the way, he's done this to Moss.
No.
If you remember the AFC Championship game in 07, I think Brady threw three picks. Two of them were Cromartie, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe so.
Moss.
He's a little bit of a roller coaster.
Yes.
He kind of rides it.
He's a good player. He's a complete rockhead, but he's a good player.
Rasmus
Could be
from
another
Useless
yeah.
Denmark writes in, hey guys and Eric, first let me say this, I apologize to you 1,000 million times. I brought this upon us. I'm the reason why we lost. No reason to say the Bill Belichick head coach of the New England Patriots has lost it or that Tom Brady doesn't have what it takes anymore. So calm down. I, a useless Denmarkian, jinxed us before the game by saying that I would subscribe to the paper if we won.
Oh.
And as we all know, we got our asses handed to us by the Jets. So in addition to losing the money I bet on the Patriots, I've also lost the will to live. So I leave it to the crew from PFW in Progress to determine a suitable punishment. And yes, Big Head.
You have to subscribe. That's the punishment.
Something sack tapping? What is that? Oh, we don't want that. Yuck. But he says that's a possibility.
Andy,
the question is if that will make the jinx go away or if I should subscribe to the paper anyway to remove the jinx.
You have to subscribe and read Eric's features.
Right. Right.
Followers for Algernon.
And then he goes on about the game. Come on, kill the Jets with Revis, Mangold, and Jason Taylor all in there. After that, they were doing well with them all in there. After they left, the team fell apart. Once again, we were outscored in the second half, this time 18-0. Brady couldn't get the deep ball out of his head when there were players open on the underneath routes, and the defense seems like it is unaware that the offenses are permitted to throw to the tight end. I mean, come on. Belichick should be able to scheme against the tight ends. This is the third straight season we've had that problem. Mm-hmm. If the system doesn't allow for the players to cover the tight end, perhaps it's time to adopt a new defensive scheme. And whatever happened to 60-minute men? Also, I think that Butler looks scary, similar to Hobbs on numerous occasions. I know he's only in his second year, but I just expected more from him. I don't know what can be done about this, but I'm sure you guys have some ideas.
Not with Butler. I expected more from him. I thought early last year he made some nice breaks on the ball, kind of rode that rookie roller coaster. I expected it to maybe level out a little bit this year, and it's leveled out, but not for the better. He hasn't made plays.
Kamani thinks it's plain and simple. We beat mediocre teams and we lose to good teams.
Sort of what the statistics say.
That's not good. on the
and also, you wonder, and again, the whole Fred Kirsch, we don't know yet. But what does it say about Cincinnati? What is Cincinnati? Are they a good team? They were good. They were a pretty good team last year, and they looked awful in week one, but came back and beat the Ravens in week two. Right. I think we all think the Ravens are a pretty good team.
Right, so you don't know. Joining us on the Ace Ticket Hotline is Tyrone from Delaware. Hey, Tyrone. Tyrone.
Yeah, how you doing? How you guys doing?
What's up? Good, good. What's up, though? What are you doing over there? You at work?
Yeah, I'm at work here. I heard from you guys. I'm trying to call, but a lot of times when I call, you guys are busy. But
we're very popular here. And have
yeah, I know, man. But look, man. I'm not feeling too good. Feeling good. These Baltimore people, they're killing me here, and these Eagles people, they're killing me. The bottom line is, fellas, like you got an email just came on the phone. Emailer, he said that we beat mediocre teams and we don't beat the good teams. Mm-hmm. The reason why is because we don't have the best players on the field. It's that simple. It's not nothing, you know, so crazy. If we're going to have those young guys, them young corners out there, Darius Butler, Devin McCourty, which, you know, Devin McCourty, you know, he's doing okay. We're supposed to have an elite pass rusher. As soon as that trade deadline came up last year, or this year actually, and I was hoping we was going to get Julius Peppers, we should have did everything possible to get that man in our squad. That's what we needed. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand. You see, the Jets, they don't mind spending money. They got who they know they needed some wide receivers. They got wide receivers. They did what they had to do. And we just don't do that. I just don't understand why we do this nonsense of trading down and getting retreads. Can someone explain to me why we keep those 3 years we won that Super Bowl? It's over. We have to flip the script and do the something new. Go to something new. We got to get these studs out in the field. I just don't understand it, man. And Jets, they look, to show the difference, Baltimore hold them at 10 points. You want to know why? They got playmakers on the field. They got Suggs. They got Price. They got the rookie, Mount Cody. He's going to be a beast. Then you got Nada. I mean, they got play. The only person we got on the defense is Vince Wilford. That's it. We can't win with that. I mean, it's too simple, man. It's no rocket science here. And you know what, Brian Lowe, he kind of disappointed me. I know he was on the payroll.
Me too.
He was on, yeah.
You still there, Tyrone?
What did D-Lo
do to disappoint you?
This is what he did. I saw him, I watch Patriots today, every day. And when Randy Moss made his rant, whatever, I understand it wasn't the right time, but I think he called him selfish. But I'm saying to myself, I think Robert Kraft's a little selfish here. I mean, he don't do what he got to do. He don't want to spend. I mean, it's just crazy. And, you know, it had a story down here in Baltimore. I don't know if it's true or not, that Bill Belichick was on a boat ride. I don't know if it's true, but he was on a boat ride. And his father, the guy had somebody on the boat had a son. And his son asked his dad, said, look, that's Bill Belichick over there. So the dad was telling him, man, you know, leave him alone. So the son said, I'm going to go over there and say hi to him. And the son went over to him and say hi, and Bill Belichick just rolled up his glass. So I guess he's one of them boats where you got the cars or whatever like that up there. I don't know if you heard that story, but that's what they were saying in Baltimore when he was playing Baltimore in the playoffs last year. And if that's true, man, and then we call him player selfish, that's kind of hypocrisy to me. And then you want Logan Mankins to make if that's true, you want him to make a public apology. But when Randy Moss went to the public to do what he do, they don't like that. What's going on here?
Well, I think you touched on a lot of good issues there, Tyrone.
Tyrone went on a rant. He was ready for this.
Tremendous.
Yeah.
And he's at work. So I don't know what his coworkers are thinking about that, but he brought up a lot of good points.
Well, I like the first one.
Yeah.
The playmakers. To me, there's no doubt. When you play average teams to below average teams, you can get by with the whole Brady and Moss, a couple of guys is enough. The better team you play, they're better for a reason. They have more players. They go deeper in their playmaking depth. I don't think these players are ready to match that yet.
Yeah.
You know, in the old days, maybe Rodney Harrison and Teddy Bruschi weren't great, weren't elite players, but when you did your little tennis matchup thing, your sixth or seventh plus player was pretty good.
And I think that's how the Patriots, you know, since Belichick has been here, they've been trying to build the team, you know, with that strong middle class, you know.
Well, I would call it the upper middle class.
Well whatever.
The problem now is the middle class is the high end of the roster,
well, yeah.
You know, beyond,
but
you know, a few.
You're lacking
the,
you
exceptions.
Have your superstars. You still have a couple of those guys
that
are elite.
Yeah, Brady Moss,
Welker. But then that next group of 5 to 15
down.
Or something,
yeah.
I don't think there's enough talent in there, and I think it used to be better.
The way that they build, they like to build the team, puts a lot of pressure on scouting and personnel decisions. And I think, you know, when you talk about, well, they didn't go after Julius Peppers, and they didn't, you know, get these high-priced free agents, I'm not sure if it was, we don't want to spend the money as much as, he's not the right guy for our team. Now, you can question that, and you can say they're wrong that, you know, for that, but I don't think it's a
Everybody's not the right guy.
Yeah, I don't
though.
Think it's a money
free
thing.
Agents, draft picks, they always have some wart that makes them not a Patriot.
But they do.
Well, why is Jermaine Cunningham's a Patriot?
But
why
they
is he a
do
Patriot?
Go after certain guys, you know?
Yeah, and they don't always work. So
well, that's
if you always hit, if you were that particular and always hit after being that particular,
that's why
I'd give you the benefit of the doubt.
That's why I said their system puts a lot of pressure on scouting. And
every system does.
Well, no. If you
make the right decision or the wrong.
No, but
I agree with
you. But if you're just going to go after the best guys out there per se, then it's
what's wrong with that system? I kind of like that.
You
system.
You have to be right about who you think is the best guy out there.
Right, but
there's a lot of pressure on that.
Sure, but it's a little bit tougher, I think, to do it the way the Patriots do. But if it works out, you have a more solid team year after year. Look, if Julius Peppers wanted to do a one-year contract, I'm sure the Patriots would have signed him.
Well, that's not his value.
Exactly.
That's not how it works.
But they don't want to be committed to a guy like that long term.
And some people would argue they have a good team year after year because they have Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
That'd be my argument.
That's it. That you could do anything else you want with all the rest of the decisions, and you're going to be good most years because you have those two pieces in place. And half the teams in the league don't. We're seeing teams go to new quarterbacks in week two. You don't have to worry about that here.
Including the team that's coming to Gillette Stadium this week, already making a quarterback change.
But people are starting to get frustrated because all these guys that they've traded down to get 4 second-rounders, well, if the 4 second-rounders suck and aren't good enough, people are going to get frustrated. We need playmakers.
Let me ask you guys a question about the whole draft. And now we can all agree, you know, the Maroney trade closed the book on 06, 06, 07, and 08, by really anybody's measure, weren't really up to snuff, especially not what they had
in the draft,
previously.
Right,
yeah,
right.
In the draft. You know, before I get attacked, I know that they traded for Moss and Welker in 07, okay? Those were good trades.
Right.
I'm willing, the defense is willing to concede. Those are good moves. I'm talking about the draft picks. They didn't get a lot out of 06, 07, and 08. Do you think that contributed to Bill's decision to really up the efforts to trade down?
Because you have to get two. You have to make up.
And get, yeah.
Ooh.
And,
what's that called, Paul Fred?
Good money after bad?
I mean, that's...
But I'm
I've
wondering,
always said,
do you think
I don't
that
think
had anything to do with it? They drafted 12 guys in the last two drafts, 09 and 10.
So quantity over quality.
Yes. I'm wondering if that had anything
like that
to do
theory.
With it. Because Bill looked at it and said, I don't have any young guys on this roster I feel comfortable about playing beyond, Merriweather and
maybe
Mayo. You know, out of those three drafts, I got two players that I feel okay about. I need to find some young guys to come in and invigorate this team because I've gotten old and I need to up my chances of being able to find players. Maybe that's why I don't know. I'm not, and again, I don't know if that's the right way to do it because personally, I'd rather up my level of assuredness that I'm going to get a quality player by picking one as high as I can. But I'm just wondering if that played into it at all for Bill. He probably would say no. We never have a plan like that. It just goes into the whole way. You know what we do.
Well, it could be. I mean, you don't know. We'll have to wait. You know, 10, 20 years from now when the book comes out. And we'll find out the real answers about, you know, what went behind, you know, the last few years.
Yeah, I would like to know if Bill purposely, you know, he went over the top with the trading down. Mm-hmm. Can we agree? The last two drafts? I mean, it was, I'm going to get 3 and 4 second-round picks by hook or crook. I'm going to trade down and do what it takes to get as many draft picks and pick as many players as I can. And I'm wondering if he did that because he didn't think these drafts were all that great at the top.
Well, that's that's what we were led to believe.
Or if he just simply said, I can't afford to just draft six or seven guys. I need to get 10 or 12 because I need to get four or five guys from each of these drafts that I'm going to feel pretty good about in 2 years. Yeah.
Does pretty good help you beat average teams and not help you beat good teams?
Yeah.
Especially young pretty good. You know, inexperienced pretty good. As you said, the second half adjustments. Well, maybe in 3 years those guys will come out, you know, and be a little bit better in the second half just because of their experience level.
Maybe in 3 years Tom Brady will be playing elsewhere.
Well, that's, you know. I think I had mentioned that as a possibility, and you laughed at
NFL me. Films.
No,
is
no,
doing
I laughed at you this time as a possibility.
NFL Films is doing a thing on the Patriots of old,
you 1990
know,
Patriots,
and you know they're doing those interviews. Glenn Ordway is one of the guys they interviewed. Paul, they didn't even get you. This is where you pictured yourself being.
No, not for the 1990s though.
Oh, for the 2000s.
It would be late 70s. Love that.
Okay. Fred rolls it forward and you roll it back.
Yeah. Late 70s, man.
They were so bad in this era. I didn't
pay attention to the Patriots.
It's top 10 NFL worst teams, by the way.
Yeah,
they were so bad they weren't worth even keeping tabs on.
They weren't. Randall Cunningham had a busted play where he missed the handoff, so he just turned and ran down the sideline for a touchdown.
Let's see. Okay, we have nobody on the Ace Ticket hotline right now. There is an open line at 508-543-7482.
By the way, does one cup of Coke mean a bottomless cup? Because I've seen it refilled. Because that's
shout
multiple
out,
hundreds
mouth.
Of carrots. Calories.
Who are you talking to?
You.
What?
Yeah, because you've emptied it with your fat mouth three times.
And it's in your belly.
And you wonder why you lose 4 pounds and gain it right back.
Sean
patio
says,
melt.
He's thirsty.
Sean says, did anyone hear Merriweather interview? Maybe that is the defense's problem. The sad thing is that after the Pats finish 8-8 and we have two first-round picks, if there is no rookie salary cap, it won't matter. They will trade down to get a bunch of butlers. The offense will come around but needs to put up 35 points a game to have a chance. That's what Sean says.
Now, do people feel good about Brace and Chung?
I feel good about Chung.
How about Vollmer?
I feel good about Vollmer.
Okay.
Less good about Vollmer than you did last year?
Yeah, I do. But
why?
I
don't know. I've seen him get pushed around a little bit. I thought he struggled in the preseason.
He got whipped the other day in that game, too, the Jets game.
Yeah, I thought he struggled a little bit.
What do you say? The bloom is off or whatever?
The bloom is off the rose.
The bloom is off the rose.
Yeah. And it's almost like...
What's going to happen when he goes to the left side?
But it's
really
almost like
challenged.
The level of picks. That, you know, like you said, it is better to have a bunch of good picks rather than a great one. And... you asked if you feel good about it. I feel okay about all of those guys. Brace, Chung, Vollmer, Butler, but I don't feel great about any of them.
Well, but that includes the top of the draft. We talked about that the other days. If you go back
but
through...
But that was the top of that
hits.
Draft.
No. I mean the top of the draft. Gerard Mayo. Do you feel great about what he is?
Oh, no.
Brandon
Merriweather
was the top of your draft.
Yeah, no,
you feel great
I
about
feel
him.
Good about those guys.
As
all
we
of them,
said,
but not great about any of them.
You hit on Mankins, you hit on Seymour, you hit on Wilfork. The rest, I would argue, you did not hit. You did not hit a home run on first-round picks. You got solid players.
I agree.
Home runs are what you build teams around, right?
Right.
Well, especially when you know, not to get back onto the whole philosophical argument, but when you build it around not going after the quote-unquote best players that Fred said.
When you do.
You do have to hit. And that was
my whole theory on Mayo the day we drafted
Fred's
him.
Point.
I thought we drafted a Pro Bowl All-Pro because Bill finally decided there was a guy worthy of his selection that high for inside linebacker. Now, I'm not so sure, because I'm not sure he's a playmaker. And
yeah.
I don't want to rip him, but I watched Patrick Willis for a quarter,
wow.
And that's what I want to see. That's what a top 10 pick at inside linebacker, to me, looks like.
The linebacker,
he's a game-changing
player. That was a funny game on Sunday. The linebackers didn't do anything. I didn't notice Bart Scott and David Harris much either,
right.
And I certainly didn't notice the Patriots linebackers in the game. I know Spikes led the team in tackles. I couldn't recall one, not a single one. He didn't make any... plays in that game. He had 9 tackles, I know.
Right.
But they had no impact in the game. Linebackers on either side.
And I know I may be seeing like one of the top 3 greatest inside linebackers to ever play the game based on the way he started his career. You're talking about a Hall of Famer.
Patty Willis.
You're talking about an elite, but it's a modern day comp. A guy that's right there. He was picked lower than you by a pick or two a year before. It's right there in front of you, and that's what you're trying to pick in the top 10 is elite. I always said I had ultimate confidence in Bill picking high. Well, I don't know if I feel that way anymore.
Maybe he doesn't either.
That's why he trades down.
Tom writes in, why is everybody skirting the problem? Brady's accuracy is the problem. He is off by about 3 feet in all his long throws. He missed Gronk underthrow for a big gain. He missed Moss underthrow. Twice.
Overthrow. I 100% agree with all three of those throws.
Which ones did he miss Moss on?
Both of them.
He is just not in good form.
Both of the deep balls. The one in the back of the end zone in the first half.
Oh, I thought that was a drop on Moss.
I thought it was a terrible throw.
Terrible. Where only Moss could catch it.
And the one-handed catch was one-handed because of a bad throw.
I agree
and
with that.
And the Gronk throw was well underthrown.
That one was underthrown.
Which allowed Kyle Wilson to make the play.
I would argue that
there
was a drop in the back of the end zone. I would argue that an in-cut from Moss, he alligator-armed. I thought Brady put it right on the spot.
He had another one that that Welker had go right through his hands for a first down over the middle in the second half.
I haven't seen these glaring lacks of
accuracy. But those three throws I would wholeheartedly agree with. I don't think we're skirting the issue, however. Maybe call us apologists if you want, but I don't think that was the problem.
As far as problems go, that's not the biggest one or even close. Jim in Pittsburgh writes in, I don't see how you're satisfied with the run defense. I have to agree with Wilfork's comments
yesterday. I'm not satisfied with it. Fred and Andy were.
He said that in their base.
I am, compared to all the other crap that I've seen on the field.
He said that in their base defense, they're strong, but when the offense forces a change in the defense like the nickel and dime, the other team could find all kinds of holes in the line. If we took away the run, the Jets would have become one-dimensional. Okay, we have young backs, but we could adjust for that. We couldn't adjust because they would run on our pass defense. As for offense.
Well, first of all, I pinpointed Ron Brace and Gerard Warren that I was comfortable with. When they're not on the field, I find it hard to critique them. I feel better about them than Jarvis Green and Mike Wright. That's my point.
Oh, absolutely.
I feel like I filled slots at base defensive end
the
3-4.
I thought the very first drive of the game, the Patriots were impressive. On run defense, I didn't think. After that, I thought they kept Sean Green under control, but I thought he was okay. And then they had no answer for LT.
Right.
Now maybe that was all sub packages. I'd have to go back and look.
I think for the most part it was.
Jim goes on.
I find it hard to rip the guys that are coming out of.
But
the
I mean,
game
a lot of them were first and 10 runs.
No, I know. But as we've said, they've been in sub packages a lot this year because I don't think they have a ton of confidence in their base defense.
But that's part of the problem. I agree. And if you want to say the individual players, I would agree with Andy. I think Brace and Warren have been okay.
Pleasant surprises in my mind, and I don't think there's been a ton of pleasant surprises.
Speaking of personnel moves and stuff, you know, we talked about Fred Taylor
and
Benny.
You want to get to Woodhead?
Oh. No, Fred Taylor and Benny, you know, kind of swapping. Fourth quarter, Kyle Love in at nose tackle, Vince Wilfork moving out to end. Any thoughts? I was a little surprised. I mean, Kyle Love
I was more surprised when it was Kyle Love at nose and Vince Wilfork next to Pepper Johnson on the sideline.
Yeah, I assume that was just for a fatigue.
A breather?
Yeah, for a fatigue. That was like one play. He came out of the game. Love came out of the game, went into the game in the second quarter on a touchdown drive. And then he came out of the game in the middle of that drive. He went back in the fourth quarter. I just can't imagine that's your best option there.
Well, yeah. I'm not totally sold that Ron Brace is ready to play 60 minutes. It's based on what we've seen
sure
from him
not,
in his career.
Yeah.
James from Pittsburgh also says, as for the offense, we do not have a running game, period, which leaves everything up to Brady. Want to beat Brady? Frustrate him. Rush him. I hit him late. Hit the receivers late and hard. When I used to box, my coach would say, everyone has a great game plan until you're punched in the face. This is the time where we're going to see Brady's attitude. Can he get kicked in the mouth when he's down and get back in the fight? I think so, but while it's happening, I'm not sure. He gets either more focused or sloppier. Lately, it's been sloppier. Do you see some of those Hail Mary passes? Yikes. In conclusion, I'm sort of glad that we lost this game. It's the gut check that the players needed, the coaches needed, and sadly, I needed. I was very sad about what happened for about 12 hours, but found myself laughing about my reaction to the loss to the Jets. Basically, exactly what I'm criticizing the Patriots of doing. Maybe I need to walk my walk first before I point fingers. I'm still a Patriots fan with great players, great coaches, and a great show like yours to keep this all in perspective. Entertainment. That's Jim from Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Jim.
That's enemy territory. It's tough to be a Patriots fan in Pittsburgh, I'll bet.
Especially when they don't even have a quarterback and they're playing well.
Yeah, I'm just not a big fan of we needed this loss. I'm not a big fan of that gut check thing. Everything else, I'm with.
You don't like being 15-0 and saying they should lose a game?
Yeah, no. Yeah. Not, never.
Well, this is
get ready for the playoffs.
You're 1-0 and think they need to lose a game.
I would be able to, if they were 13-0, I would be able to shrug it off like
right.
that and say, well, you know, it's probably not the worst thing in retrospect. I'd want to go 16-0 and 19-0, but I could shrug one off then. Right now, I don't know how good we are.
Yeah, there's no shame in 15-1.
You know, we might look back at this season and say, geez, if we had just won that Jets game, we would have made the playoffs.
Yeah, kind of like
I'm not ready to say it was a good gut check.
Andy says, I'm sorry, but at least the last 2 years, the draft has sucked. We traded away the claymaker, Clay Matthews, to the Packers, which I thought he was the best player in the draft on the linebacker
spot. Of course
you
did. Sure
which
you
did. We need help with the linebackers pass rush since we already really have no pass rush. So I'm from Green Bay, so I had to watch the claymaker make more big plays each week when the Patriots aren't on TV. Your guys thought on the pass rush?
It's non-existent.
I actually thought the pass rush was decent in the first half on Sunday. You know, hit three sacks. I thought they were, you know, they hit them.
When I get all my sacks from a defensive end like Gerard Warren.
Listen.
So Andy,
is it an elite pass rush? No. But I thought they got around Sanchez a fair amount of time in the first half. And coming out of the third quarter, the first play buried him as he threw a football.
That was tremendous.
I'm not expecting them to be anywhere near the quarterback all year, so maybe it's expectations.
It could be.
You know, I am surprised anytime there's a blue shirt around
still
the quarterback.
For somebody now, to get an edge.
Now, Andy, your scouting on Clay Matthews was really wrong. What
no
do you
question.
Attribute that to?
I thought he was an overrated special teamer. I think he got good stuff.
Oh, okay.
I think a lot of those linebackers out of USC that year had good chemists working for them.
I think we've already one of those is already proven.
Right. One of them is on suspension as we speak.
And Brian
believe,
Cushing.
Right?
Yep.
I didn't buy him. He's a guy that ascended late in his career. Maybe he's just a late riser. But the right argument there is whether I was right or wrong, who cares? There's been enough of those guys, Brian Arakpo, that have come in and been immediate impact pass rushers that the Patriots have decided, because of our system, I guess, because of the 6'4", 4'6" guys, they don't work for us. Well, sooner or later, somebody's got to work for you, because you know who doesn't work? Rob Ninkovich and Jermaine Cunningham.
Boy,
and these
really,
guys.
You're really pinning a lot of this on poor Rob Ninkovich, aren't you?
It's not his fault. He's been pushed in. I mean, there's three linebackers on this team, and he's one of them.
I agree.
Jermaine
Cunningham
role.
Is going to have to be that guy.
And is he?
I don't
Give
have any
me.
Idea.
2 weeks in, is he?
Based on what I've seen, no. I've
At
seen him,
best,
I've
in
seen
my
him
mind
once.
Already, he's Mike Vrabel.
He's been on the field for
and
about,
everybody
what,
told
40
me Mike
plays,
Vrabel had
I know
12 sacks
once.
Because the offense had a 21-point lead. Well, you know what? I'm sick of those kind of sacks. I want a sack that no matter what, a guy like DeMarcus Ware can get you some pressure.
You need a sack.
Or Ooh. I have a sack.
No, you need one.
Drop it. Steven and Warwick.
On your eyeballs and call it Arabian God.
My God.
Steven and Warwick in the UK says, the most frustrating thing I saw on the field on Sunday was the offensive play calling, which seemed to take a deliberate shift away from what has been most successful for the Pats over the past few years. I see our offense at its best when maximizing the use of screens, bubble screens, draws, play action, and misdirection plays in general. We then only
How'd the bubble screen do Sunday?
Yeah, they were ready for it.
Minus two.
We then
you know
only
why?
Four.
Because when you have good team speed and guys flying to the football, they blow those up usually.
Can or when they have three
second.
Guys on three.
Let me just stop you for a second. You can finish the email.
Thanks.
I'm a little frustrated with the play calling thing because it doesn't seem like Bill O'Brien can win. When they do well and score a lot of points and move the ball around, it's Brady doing a great job of spreading it around. When he locks in on Randy Moss, it's the play calling fault.
It's the opposite of the defense.
It's not fair. It's not fair to Bill O'Brien.
It's all the quarterback and not the coach. We're on defense. It's all the coach. It has nothing to do with the players.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do, Paul, and we said this before. Look, if you are gonna criticize the play calling, half the blame has to go on Brady. Because Brady is as much an on-field coordinator as O'Brien is on the sideline, and if O'Brien calls in a play that Brady doesn't like, I am sure that Brady has veto power.
But I'm
well,
not
I
even,
don't like that.
Though. I'm not even taking it to that level. I'm saying when Brady throws the ball downfield to a covered Moss, why is that Bill O'Brien's fault?
Right?
He has the opportunity to throw the ball pretty much wherever he wants. Now, if you want to say specifically the email I mentioned, some screens and stuff, okay, that's a play call. You need to call a screen. You can't just say, oh, I have Moss's cover downfield. I'll throw a screen to Falk. You can't do that. I understand that. So I'm not saying that Bill O'Brien is blameless.
Play to a screen on the fly.
Right. I'm not saying that Bill O'Brien is blameless. But, again, when things go well, it's Brady spreading it around. The favorite guy is the open guy, and isn't Tom great? And then when things go bad, it's Bill O'Brien not having any imagination.
So you're saying Brady's not great. I just want to
No,
boil
I'm
this
saying
down.
That it's just the same thing as your defense thing with Belichick.
Steven also says, for some reason against the Jets, we decided to abandon the use of misdirection altogether in favor of trying to let the receivers match up one-on-one with the talented Jets corners. This seemed to play right into their hands, and coupling this with some poor inside running and Brady's fixation with Moss in the second half made the offense ridiculously predictable. I don't know how much of this is Bill O'Brien versus Brady's fault, but we need to get back to what we do best and quickly. So
you need to do what you do best, but that wouldn't be predictable?
No.
Again, a successful play is imagination, and an unsuccessful one is predictability.
Marvin from Kernersville, North Carolina. Fred, Andy is correct about the defense. This game reminded me of the 06 AFC Championship game.
What did he say about
against
that?
The Colts, where we all had the momentum in the first half, only to let them get a score right before the half and let them back in the game. We know what happens in the second half. To Andy's point about the D, sometimes it's not the size of the dog in the fight, but the size of the fight in the dog. Rodney,
yeah.
Vrabel,
thanks,
and Petty,
Kevin Falk,
all had the fight. I'm not sure these guys have any fight at all.
It did start at the end of the first half. That score was big in my mind.
I think it was huge, but I think it even started before. The Patriots had one really successful defensive series in the game, and it was the first one. The first series of the game, they went 3-and-out, and they were dominant
also,
on that.
But also,
and even then, it was a wide open guy.
The first series to open up the second half, the Patriots had.
Yeah, that was
series.
The one that. They got a 3-and-out.
Warren
there,
had a sack, right?
He hit him as he. I think he threw the ball and got hit on that play. But again, I thought there was. I'll say two. Okay, I'll say that the first possession of each half,
right,
was really successful. The second one, the Jets went right down the field and scored a touchdown. They moved the ball in their next series, and then eventually had to got stopped. And then the drive at the end of the half, to me, was the most impressive.
Sure.
Because
huge.
That's not supposed to be what they can do.
They only had
right?
like a minute 40
huge.
Or something like
that.
Oh,
they didn't have that much.
Yeah,
that was 15. Like they had like 40 seconds.
Yeah, maybe it was even that, right.
And that's not supposed to be what they can do.
So you go into the locker room going, hey, we can move the ball on these guys.
That
and the Patriots
way.
Don't go in with their usual, hey,
right.
we just scored before the half.
No, it's true.
You matched it.
On the Ace Ticket Hotline right now, Christian from Revere is joining us. Hey, Christian.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's up?
How you doing? How
come it's well, Chris as high team? As I was last week, that's how low I am this week, I guess. So.
You're riding a roller coaster?
Yeah, pretty much.
Get
I mean,
used to it. Buckle in.
It's the
I know.
Hot
I
roller
actually,
coaster.
I actually just sent an email just saying about that, talking about that, and also talking about Mayo and you know and Willis and the difference. And Paul, I remember you saying many months ago, you know, the next time Gerard Mayo makes a play that you remember will be the first time.
Wow, he's so negative, that Perillo.
You know, but you were right. You were right on. And, you know, listen, the defense looked bad, but at least this week the offense didn't do him any favors in the second half. You know, the 3-and-outs and the third and longs, and, I mean, the defense was on the field. But, I mean, I think the most frustrating thing from a fan is, like, it's not like the New Orleans game where guys were getting wide open and blown by people. I mean, you know, McCourty was there, Butler was there. Guys are in positions to make plays, and they're not making them. And the most disturbing thing I heard actually yesterday was Vince Wilfork talking about, listen, we knew what they were going to do. You know, Belichick told us what they were going to do, and we couldn't stop it.
Yeah.
Whether it was running, whether it was the sub packages, and that speaks to talent, I think. I don't know what you guys think, but I just think that that's, they know what's coming at them, but they can't do anything about it.
Yeah, that's kind of how we started the show, saying, you know, it's the same problems as last year, but you change the coordinator and Belichick's taking over the defense. Well, kind of leads you to believe it's just the talent. No matter what the coach does, the talent can't compete.
Yeah, and they can't compete. And, I mean, you know, I think you guys said it, and everybody said it pretty much throughout the offseason, that the offense was going to have to score a lot. And when there's days like this, when the offense is stymied, that this is what's going to happen.
And that's stymied is a good, the Jets stymied them. That's a good defense. It's not like the offense just laid an egg out of the blue.
No,
when that happens, then you're going down the road of losing seasons.
If this
6
happens
and 10,
next
the offense
week against
just,
the Bills, we're
then,
in real
then
trouble.
Then you're going down the road of 6-10 because it's one thing to go to the best defense in football and lay an egg in a half. But if you lose to the Bills and your offense sucks, well, you got major problems hitting the fan.
So it is. We definitely should not be hitting the panic button.
No, you should not have been as high as you were last
close.
Week.
It's not even lit up yet.
You shouldn't have been high last week. You shouldn't be as low this week.
It all depends on what you're expecting.
It's all reasonable.
Yeah.
I think we've all been through enough of these seasons where you know that if this is still happening in December, then it's a problem.
Then you plan some vacations for January.
Right.
Yeah, and you know, we hope there's a season because then you start looking at the draft. But
we're
a long way away from that.
Boy, that took a turn, didn't it?
You know, so... come on, Fred, now. I know you're rolling your eyes over there.
Yeah, come on, Fred. Give him something.
No, he's not.
No, yeah, that's the problem.
The scary
Fred is
part,
actually on board.
T-I-A-N. I'm telling you, the scariest part is that Fred is We're having to prop Fred up a little bit today.
He's still trying to find reason for his optimism.
Yeah.
And he's finding less of it by the week.
Come on, Fred, we need you.
Well, I'm still there. Don't worry about it. I'm still there. I have faith.
That's all you got? That's really all you got?
Yeah.
That's all you can muster up
I
right
got
now?
Faith.
All right.
See you, Christian.
TIAN.
Somebody should tell
the Ace Ticket Hotline.
We don't prep for these shows.
Why,
he's
is
out
he,
there in the cafeteria reading stuff,
that's
I think.
It's all right. Let him, you know.
Don't forget the debut of the Pete
Shepherd
Show
gonna
later
bring
on
that
this
up.
Afternoon.
We're going to bring on Pete before the show's over in
what
the
time
last
is
half
it?
Hour. It's 1:23.
This clock is messing me all up.
Joel in Merrimack says, a couple thoughts on the loss to the Jets. First and foremost, Felger is and will always be a douchebag.
I agree.
Now more important
what did that
things.
Have to do with the Jets?
The offense did not live up to my expectations, given that the Jets have a great defense. I think too much time was spent trying to force the ball into Moss at the second half. Neither of the interceptions bothered me much. One was as good as a punt, and the other was simply a fantastic defensive play. But I kept looking for Welker or Hernandez or Gronkowski or Tate or Edelman, and all I saw was Moss missing yet another catch. The defense was suspect, but I didn't think the kind. But didn't we kind of expect that?
Yep.
McCourty and Butler both got lit up in the second half, and the only reason it didn't happen in the first half was because our O controlled the ball for most of the entire half. Overall, I give the offense a C and the defense a D. Now the good news. Hernandez looked great, and Warren was a nice surprise. For the limited time we saw Welker, he looked good. For most of the game, our O-line did a great job of protecting Brady, and the best thing to come out of this game is that now Tom Brady and crew get to take their frustrations out on the Bills. Have you guys heard anything more about Falk? Losing him would really be a blow to this offense. Keep up the great show. We really didn't talk about that.
We haven't really heard anything about him physically, but I'm not as concerned about it.
Really?
No. No, it's not a good thing.
But I think already this year he's made some plays that were key to the game, and you lose him, and now you got to pick
Which
that
ones?
Up. Last week in Cincinnati, he made a couple good plays. You know, he had that one play down the sideline to the 4 yard line.
Okay, I do remember that catch.
You know.
So, I am worried about it because I don't think he has a backup. I know they tried Edelman in the preseason.
Yeah, no, I don't think they have it. I just don't necessarily
and
think
that's a huge
loss.
And if we're not
going to
play Taylor, then...
I wonder if they'll try Edelman in that role.
I think they will.
I think they will.
I mean, they signed your boy...
Woodhead?
Woodhead, who ostensibly is a poor, you know... I can't even call him a poor man's Falk. It's more like a destitute man's Falk. But
the guy just got here. And
it's being reported he may be even activated this week, depending on what the injury status is.
Why do you think they're reporting that?
Woodhead?
Because one guy's hurt and another guy is here.
I'd rather have Edelman instead of Woodhead.
Yeah, I would be shocked if they didn't try Edelman in that role. Absolutely shocked.
The one thing about, though, with Falk is on third down, he picks up the blitz
That's
so well.
Where you might miss him. Yeah.
The other day, he picked it up with his chin.
That's
where I've never seen him get blown up like that in my life. He went at least 4 yards through the air.
Very effective in that role. They will, you know, let me take back my original statement. They'll miss him in that regard because he is very good at the pass protection on that. But I don't think that he is, I don't think they're going to miss that element. I think someone else can catch the ball on third down, is
what
I'm saying.
What about the draws and the knack he has? He gets those yards. I don't
know
how he does it.
Listen, you're going to find a bigger fan. You're going to find a bigger fan of Kevin.
Draws up the middle where he goes, woo, 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 and somehow he gets 9 yards and gets what he needs.
But I haven't, I guess maybe that's, you know, it's kind of a point in your favor. I haven't seen much of him so far. And maybe it's a point in your favor. Because they haven't been as good as we
I just think when this offense is at its best, he's a part of it.
I'm not dismissing it. It's any loss of a regular player is significant.
508-543-7482 is the phone number. On the Ace Ticket Hotline right now.
I don't mean an average regular player. I mean a player
that
plays all the time.
Salt, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How you guys doing?
Good. How you been?
How's Pepper?
Pepper's doing good.
Nice.
You guys talking people off the ledge today?
No, Fred is not
Fred's
doing a very
good
job.
Fred's on the ledge.
I'm not on the ledge. It's week two. I'm okay.
Andy and I have been the voice of reason, strangely enough.
I don't like this new producer.
Neither do we.
He makes me tell what I want to talk about.
Well,
talk about the Patriots?
He said your name.
What specifically?
Your name made him suspicious.
Well, when a guy with a fake name calls up.
It's not
that's
fake name.
Not his
that's
fake
his name.
That's his real name.
He's been here way longer than you have.
Is that on his birth certificate?
Salt, don't you worry about it, Salt. As I've said to many players in the locker room in the past, I'll be here longer
than
you.
Kevin, he was even in studio with his girlfriend.
Was I here?
No, it was before you.
And you won't be when he's in next time.
You were sitting next to Mark Capella, but he didn't know it.
There we go.
Yeah.
And you'll be back there interning.
All right, so what do you got, Salt?
I don't know. I think we need some coaches. I think Belichick is good.
Well, if you don't know what you were going to talk about, maybe Kevin was right.
I don't know. I just don't think there's any imagination on the offense. It's like, if I'm the Jets, I got to defend three things. The long ball to Moss, the bubble screen to Welker, and the Falk draw. Other than that, nothing else.
No, I don't know. Aaron Hernandez had some nice catches. He had over 100 yards catching. How do they usually run?
And that's when they were trying to mix it up. They ran a little. They used the tight ends a little. They scored that touchdown. All right, then we threw a long fucking...
Oh, there we go.
Sorry, guys.
Sorry, Salt. We'll see you later. You're on a one-week suspension.
One-week suspension.
He didn't even blow him up.
Wow.
That's how bad a producer he is.
He's playing solitaire.
I knew that was going to happen.
You knew what? Then why didn't you have the blow-up
Fred,
ready?
Fred, what did I write to you on the
I know. You said...
You had no idea who he was. The guy's had plenty of calls.
Salt is a good listener.
He's on the ledge, and he admitted it.
Yeah.
Salt is a legend in PFW
but
and
if
progress.
If you knew it was going to happen, why wasn't your finger on the blow-up button to start?
You know what I think we need in here is that blow-up button. No, we need the blow-up button.
You guys can blow it. Yeah, that'd be nice.
I would take a button. Give me a button.
We should have that capability.
No, you'd be hitting it every 2 seconds. No. Paul would say something,
exactly.
And you'd be like, bang.
He would use the blow-up button on me.
Right. All right. Hey.
And all the fans are like, yeah.
Yay. So let's take a break so we can catch up with the seven second delay. And when we come back, we'll introduce the new person to the Patriots.com radio lineup.
PFW in progress. Not your run-of-the-mill talk show.
Look, I'm not sure this place is working. The drinkers are smoking, the smokers are drinking, and the gamblers are having sex with everything that moves.
Patriots.com radio.
Hey, don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules. Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains!
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warmups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game,
but,
5 yards,
but
first down.
But you're not...
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A. Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2009. Bank of America Corporation.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? Jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay. Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. And you want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on the New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together, talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, MassLottery.com.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
I'll tell you, I was at the beach on Tuesday, and there were a lot of high school girls there.
So you were lying on your stomach drilling for oil all day?
Oh, my God.
And I'm the inappropriate one.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. All right, so we have a great addition to our Patriots.com lineup, and Pete Shepard is going to be hosting the Pete Shepard Show every Tuesday from 4 to 6, starting today. And right now with us is Pete. Pete, how you doing?
Oh, my God. What a Pete Shepard Show is kind of original, don't you think?
Well, you had a better name.
A great name.
I mean, you can
I'm just glad you get to host.
You can name it whatever you want.
Double P came up with that name. It was good.
The Pete Shepard Show. Yep. I think that's the way you want
Very
it.
Very original.
Right?
He wants royalties.
Sure.
He's not wearing that blinding polo shirt I saw him with last week. Holy crap.
You know, you got the Dan Patrick Show, the Pete Shepard Show.
Yeah,
it's all the
right,
same.
Yeah. The know? Security lady, I swear to God, she came in. She goes, "Welcome back." She goes, "You know, at least you checked in this time." I said, "Oh," it's nice to be back. She said, "Yeah." She thought I was Golic from the Mike and Mike Show. I swear to God.
You do kind of look
that.
Like
Yeah, I could see that a little bit.
Absolutely.
It's good to see you had the same gangster look that you had last week, too, with the black shirt.
What the?
You want to make fun of my attire.
I didn't make fun of your attire.
Did anybody whacked on
bright,
the way in?
I said it was bright. No, I said you looked happy and handsome like you always do. I mean, you're just a little extra bright.
I don't remember him saying any of that, but that's me.
Getting a little gay.
But it's great. It's great to be back and in the same studio where I worked many years with the coach and the guys. And so it's great to be back
here. Yeah, you're not unfamiliar here. I mean, you guys used to do the coach's show with Belichick every Monday with him. You guys, you know, had a good back and forth.
We did, yeah.
Yeah.
You know that game was awful on the second half. At least awful on Sunday. But you know, as we always talk about for years, you can't freak out over one game. That's why you don't go crazy over last week, and you don't go crazy over this week. You really don't get to know what any of these teams are about for 8, 9, 10 weeks. I really believe that. I've trained myself to believe that over the last decade because. Otherwise, you line up on the Tobin every other week. I mean, how'd you feel if you were in Dallas today?
Oh, I know. Yeah. I mean, Jerry Jones before the game was saying that he'll do anything for a half a point today. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and then they end up losing at home second week in a row.
That's... Who's Braylon Edwards' parole officer? Did they get one for him yet?
You know, we didn't mention that. Thank you, Pete. He was arrested for DUI this morning.
Yeah. Oh, it was only double the legal limit.
Yeah, right? That's okay.
It's all right. You know, just double.
Yeah. You're just celebrating.
Was it 30%, whatever it was?
Sure.
Yeah, a big day.
Now, the question is.
I want to see the mugshot if there is one, because with that beard and if he's hammered, that's going to be a priceless mugshot.
Yeah.
TMZ or one of those websites I'll be checking out later.
But it's good to hear that that happened.
Well, it's good unfortunately, it was a week too late.
I know. So maybe they'll get Santonio Holmes back and lose Braylon Edwards for the.
Yeah, they lost Revis. You know, we don't know about Mangold.
Could have been a costly win for them.
Yeah. I mean, a Pyrrhic victory, if you will.
Yeah,
sure. I don't know what that means. But
so it's a good thing for the Patriots.
Sure.
Well, yeah. From 4 to 6, that's what you'll hear from the Pete Shepard. Big Sunday for the Patriots.
Oh, no. Yeah, huge. What a first half. Yeah. Second half. Did that happen? No. It just. But that man just pisses you off, though. You see that.
Oh,
you just,
I know.
You just get so aggravated. You know, it's just.
Yeah.
And it's the first time I've counted over the last 11 years doing the postgame show with the guys and on EEI. It was just. Maybe 5 times we had conflicts between playoffs or Red Sox or Celtics. I'd actually been able to watch games with my friends, and it was kind of refreshing. But God, it is. You think we're bad? I mean, you start watching games with your friends, and you really realize something.
And it's been a while since you've done it. You hear
exactly.
Stuff, and you're like, "Wow, is that what they think every week?"
It's absolutely hysterical. For the most part, I just kept my mouth. I really was silenced. Believe it or not, I was just, you know, come on. I was one of those, come on, man.
Oh, I know.
You know, but it's hard. I can't get overly aggravated in week two. I mean, I'm aggravated, but I'm not going to go crazy in week two.
I said, you know, and I'm the ultimate fan on this show.
Homer.
And I said before the game, I said, look, I'm emotionally ready for the Patriots to lose this game. We looked at the schedule.
I wasn't.
Knowing how good the Jets defense is.
So he's the true homer. No, you're not a homer. No, you were ready to lose.
I was not emotionally ready.
Knowing how good the Jets defense is and it's at home, I figured, okay, here's one you might tick off in the loss column. But the way they lost it, the way that they came out in the first half.
Sucked!
I know, and so we're going back and forth here. You know, what are you more disappointed at? What are you more mad at? I come out being more mad at the offense. I'm sorry. You know,
I agree with you.
Yeah.
We knew the defense was going to struggle at times the way they did. I think they were pretty damn good against Cincinnati for the most part. You know, they really were. But that's growing pains. I just saw the same. Didn't you feel like you were flashing back to Twilight Zone to last year?
Well, that's the other thing that gets us pissed off.
That's a big worry.
This is a continuation of those second half collapses.
And I'm, you know, the Cromartie Moss thing. I think, did that get into Brady's head? He's like, okay, now I'm going to throw Randy every time.
Right.
I mean, he threw the Walker twice in the second half.
Yeah,
twice.
Yeah,
he had 15 catches last year in Foxborough for what, 185 yards.
Right.
I just couldn't understand. Hernandez seemed like he could have gone for 500 yards.
I can't believe that, you know, especially on that interception on the sideline where there were three Jets around him, that there wasn't somebody else open.
Yeah, I agree. It's bad. I went and watched, you know, the game back on Channel 4 today again. This is just the second half. First half, you know, they did a lot of good things. It's amazing to me that there seemed to be a lack of adjustment. Either a lack of adjustment or a lack of vision by Tom Brady, just to try and force the ball too much. I don't know. I think it was a combination of a bunch of little things.
The other thing we can't figure out is why Fred Taylor only got 5 carries and Jarvis Green gets 10.
The law firm got a bunch of carries in the second half.
You know, it should be
basically for nothing.
Right.
I don't understand that.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, Bill has his reasons in certain packages, I'm sure. It doesn't mean you have to agree with everything, but
he must have his reasons. I still say Taylor must be
Was he banged up? Was he dinged up?
Well, he went into the season with the game with a toe injury.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they were monitoring. But what about Sammy Morris? I mean, Morris has done.
You didn't see him until late in the second half.
Yeah, he's had
also
success in this league. You know, so why? And he's a big back. He's a punishing runner. You know, he could get 4 or 5 tough yards.
Did you put a note on the coach's door and say, like, you know,
no,
what the hell's going on?
I'm not allowed anywhere near that door.
You haven't?
Oh, there's posters of me down there. If you see this man shoot on site.
Oh,
yeah,
God.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, Pete, welcome to the lineup.
Thanks.
Great to have you, Pete.
What are you thinking of doing with the show, you know, over the season?
How the hell do I know? We'll talk about the Patriots, some other things as well. You know, we'll talk about what the hot topics are. We're going to keep it, you know, like to keep it topical with the Patriots and the NFL in general. But certainly, you know, if something breaks big in the world of sports, we're going to talk about it.
Sure.
No question about it.
Yeah.
I could sit here and talk about poker for the next 4 hours, too.
Well,
we probably don't want to get into that. It's just the NFL.
All for charity.
It's
all for charity.
For entertainment purposes only.
It's all for charity. But, no, we're going to do a lot about the Patriots. And we all know in this business that when a Patriot lost like that, you don't want to see 8 or 9 of them. But, you know, once in a while, it's good for –
sure.
A lot of reaction. Stirs the
It gets us going, keeps
going
us interested.
Yeah, it's good, you know.
Yeah. Who needs 07, 18 in a row?
Like the Godfather.
How boring was that?
Get rid of the Godfather. This thing's going to happen once every 5, 10 years. Get rid of the bad blood.
I don't like it when ESPN gives the Patriots their own tagline on the bottom of the
I wouldn't worry about that this year.
Those freaking fools over there.
For you, father. For you, father.
All right.
All right, guys. Have a good show. Thank you so much.
That's the Pete Shepard Show today at 4 o'clock. And every Tuesday, you know, what?
That's
Andy.
Good. Yeah.
You're looking at me like I'm nuts.
That's must-listen radio right there.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially on a day
and I dare
when they lose to the Jets.
I dare someone to call in to Pete and make fun of Bill Belichick. I dare you to do that.
Especially when Bill's on the air.
And Bill could, you know, who knows?
I'm telling you, he's going to pop in. One of these weeks,
there's
Bill
no
will be
question
on the Pete
in my
Shepard
mind
show.
That he will make an appearance on the Pete Shepard Show.
This might not be the week because, you know, he
might
have
not be
issues.
The best week. Might not be the best week, but he will make an appearance.
He might not be in the best of mood.
On the Pete Shepard Show.
All right. Well, let's get back to some emails. Webradio at patriots.com. 508-543-7482 is the phone number on the ACE ticket hotline.
ACE.
Archie writes in.
Man.
He says, what's up, PFW? I just want to say everybody is overreacting with how bad Darius Butler played Sunday. He did look like a fool, but he was always there.
I'm glad we were overreacting.
But he's always been there all summer.
This is 18 games.
That's why we're overreacting.
Once
this isn't a one thing.
Once he learns to get his head around to find the ball, he'll be fine. McCourty, Chung, and Spikes look good. The offense is struggling, and Brady has to take the blame.
Okay,
overall, I believe with 1 or 2 pieces, we'll be fine.
All right.
Was one of those pieces another corner?
Paul's going to tell you why the season's over. Go ahead.
I think Andy's right about Butler,
yeah,
and that's why I think we're all concerned.
I mean, literally,
I
if you want to see it, go back to the blog, and I bet you on our blog
a million
you can find
times, both of
a
us.
Dozen
absolutely
entries in training camp of practice notes of another case of there but didn't make the play coverage from Darius Butler.
Fred, I'm going to throw it to you.
That's right. You gosh darn right I'm pulling the horn.
The other guys, Chung, McCourty, and Spikes, were fine. What was fine about them on Sunday? Now, I'm not ready to trash these guys. you know, they all made their basically their second.
I bet he's actually ready. He's saying that.
No, they all made their second start, right? All three of them made their second career start. Put the brakes on, you know, the sky is falling. But what was fine about what McCourty gave up two touchdowns? Butler's getting all the criticism. McCourty gave up two touchdowns.
But he should. That I'll bet.
I understand.
Because year two is different than year one. There is a difference.
I understand. There's a higher expectation level for Butler. I get it.
Okay.
But at the same time, you can't say he was fine Sunday.
He wasn't fine Sunday.
He gave up two touchdowns. Chung is, I would think, part of the defense that should be limiting tight ends.
Instead, he was bouncing off of Keller's hip when he caught the ball 20 yards downfield, 21 yards downfield.
And Spikes, again, we talked about him earlier in the show, 9 tackles. Can anybody recall one?
Yeah. So you think both inside linebackers should elbow you when they make a play?
No, what I'm saying is I don't think there was anything fine about anything that went on in the field on Sunday. Gerard Warren had 2 sacks. He was fine.
Mesko was fine for once.
Mesko was actually good.
Mesko was good.
3 punts, 47 average, 44 net. He was good.
Yeah.
Okay, but I was talking about the defense.
Steve in Connecticut, don't get me
don't
wrong.
Don't bring up positives in other areas. I want to rip the defense.
Don't get
more.
Me wrong, says Steve. There's plenty of blame to go around for this terrible loss. But against the Bengals, Tom had plenty of time to get up to the line of scrimmage, look around, and call out the protections and snap the ball. Against the Jets, they were scrambling around, getting up to the line of scrimmage
with
maybe 5 seconds on the play clock and snapping the ball. I would think Tom could use the time to look over the defense, and when playing a team like the Jets, heck, isn't it an advantage having a smart veteran quarterback like Brady, allowing him to read the defense and not having to rush up to the line to get the ball snapped? I didn't notice that, but I'm not discounting it. If it's true, would that be because of the crowd noise and getting the plays in? They're having a little trouble getting the plays in?
I actually didn't notice it.
I didn't notice it either.
It could be true.
I will say something, and if it is true, and I didn't really think of it, it might be an interesting thing to sort of go back on. Andy, remember when we were talking a lot, it seemed, especially in the second half, that the Jets weren't ready at the start of plays? Their defense seemed to be scrambling to get into position. I wonder if that hurt Brady, because maybe it was a better disguise of what they were
declaring.
Doing. And I thought all along it looked like the Jets were a little bit scrambling and unprepared, but maybe that was by design.
They were doing the milling about.
That was by design, and that sort of affected Brady and his ability to call out the protections and whatnot.
Earlier, Andy, you were wondering if that was Jimmy Farris in
is
that
it?
Commercial. According to John in Ithaca, it is. He has a website to prove it.
Look at that eyes. I got eyes. I got it right here.
Jimmy Farris was definitely destined for something like that. He was more involved in the entertainment aspect of things
That's
than
awesome,
anything else.
Though.
He was a good guy. I like Jimmy Farris.
Oh, yeah, still is probably. Seems like he's alive in the commercial.
Matt wants to know what happened to Paige. Was he cut or is he hurt? Jarrett Paige.
Jarrett Paige played on Sunday.
Played special teams, didn't he?
And he played on special teams, and he was on the 2-point conversion. He was on the field as part of the defense.
Let's see. Sean says, Andy is 1,000% right today on all topics.
I love you, Sean.
If Brady is accurate and connects on most of his passes, it will open up at least a little bit of a run game.
You're cutting ties with Andy because he didn't think it was anything wrong with Brady's ball.
See Peyton Manning.
Not all of them.
By the way, I have to agree with Sean there. Peyton Manning.
Who's agreeing with me?
I mean, every year he gets better. I mean, I don't know if his team does, but he certainly does. I mean,
that performance Sunday night by the Colts in
general of the game—it's unbelievable. You know, and
so do you believe Brady has that control or doesn't?
You know, I don't know. I don't know if it's partly Manning and partly, you know, Dallas Clark familiarity with him.
And is it good that the quarterback has that much control?
I'm just talking about not control of every play call. I'm just talking about awareness of what's going on in the field and just command of the situation.
But do you have to have one to have the other?
Yes, you do, I think. You have
so
to have,
should Brady have more of a say in this offense?
I think he has a lot of say.
You do?
Yeah, I do.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I do. I think that, like I said earlier, if there's a call that's in and Brady says he's like a pitcher.
So you think he just says no?
He's like a Cy Young pitcher.
I don't think he says no. If he shakes
off a catcher, it's the pitcher's call on what he wants to throw.
I'm not sure that's accurate.
Well, I think he has a big part of the game plan every week.
Yeah, game plan. I'm talking Sundays. I don't think Brady shakes off plays.
Well, I don't know. I think
that's one of those things I don't have the information.
Yeah.
I don't know how that works.
It certainly seems
that Manning does a lot more of switching from passes to runs than Brady does. Now, I don't know if that's accurate, but that's what it looks like. And I'm not talking about all the gyrations. They've talked about it a lot.
No,
the Colts,
actual plays,
the Colts
yes.
talk about it a lot, that he comes to the line and assesses. And they have a place called he can do either one, and he checks into a throw or a run.
But his accuracy and his, you know, his
strength
of arm has
not gone down. That was a very impressive
performance.
Oh. We got a chance to watch it on the plane flying home, and that was the most lopsided 38-14. I mean, it wasn't anywhere near that close.
And even the week before they lost, I know, but he had 400-plus yards.
Yeah, so. I mean, he's. I mean, listen, he's great, but I mean, he piled up some yards in that game, I think, that,
yeah,
you know, probably was based on the score. But he was.
He still is. He's amazing.
He was unbelievable
really
on Sunday.
Brett in Orlando, I'm so tired of hearing fans overreact to wins and losses. After the week one win, fans praised them for a great offense and an okay defense, and people were predicting 14-2.
It wasn't just fans. No one in the world was picking the Jets.
Right.
I agree with
nobody.
This.
It was
them.
Like 10-1 every place you saw was Patriots to Jets.
Everybody.
That's such an overreaction.
ESPN has, a panel of 13, and one guy picked the Jets, Adam Schefter, and his reasoning was, I just like to pick a little
he's
bit
a
different.
Clown.
Right. I mean, everybody thought the Jets were going to get killed in that game.
After week two, fans say the defense sucks and the offense is one-dimensional, predictable, unable to adjust, and some people are predicting 8-8. The reality is one game and it's only game two. This team will play better and they will play worse. They will make adjustments like every other team does after a loss and will be better next week.
If they play better and worse,
now
you're zeroing in on 8-8.
On 8-8, yeah.
Because you're 1-1 right now. And in the NFL, two games in, it's not huge, but you're taking steps. There's only so many of these games to go around.
Do you guys still feel that if they come out going into the bye week 2-2 that they're all right? Like we talked about before?
I do. If they come out 2-2, I think they're all right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they're not off pace.
Because I thought they
had
a chance to lose to
the Bengals. It's just, again, Kevin, I think, look, I know you're going to laugh, but penciling in, I said they're going to be 11-5 this year.
Yep.
One of the losses was the Jets.
Most people
at home.
Everybody had that as a loss before the year.
But things
changed.
Not
last week.
But what kills me is how they lost and the fact that it was the same way they've been losing games since last year.
That part I disagree with.
That's what kills me.
What kills me is how they lost. But if they lost the way they lost down there last year, I'd feel better about it.
No, not the way
they
lost down there.
They lost because they weren't as good a team as the team that they played.
I'm talking about how they lost games last, not just at the
Meadowlands. That's what concerns me. I got the impression last year that the Patriots were a better team, even though they lost. The Jets kind of rallied and got all whooped up, and they snuck one out. They were fortunate to hold them to field goals, and that's what kills you. Andy's NFL math will get you every time. 7-3.
Oh, yeah, no question.
You know? That wasn't what happened on Sunday. The Jets were the better team on Sunday, and I don't think that was the case last year when we played down in the Meadowlands.
But speaking
the Patriots were
speaking
better.
To Fred's point too, though, it when you look at the game, and I was rewatching it again last night, you're up a point on the road with 2 minutes left to go in the third quarter. You're right there. I mean, you're not far away. Granted,
the other team dominated you the rest of the way.
I don't disagree that they got beat by a better team, but to be that close. And to have a chance that, you know, quote unquote, stealing.
Yeah, but we're not
we're
supposed to be better than that year.
Well, I don't know what we're supposed to be this year, but the whole 2-2. I mean, I had this penciled in as a loss. You know, before the season started, I had a pencil, and I agree with that. But there's no question that I felt a lot better going into the game than I did before the Bengals game about the Jets game. Before the season started, I didn't think they were going to beat the Jets at the Meadowlands. I really didn't think there was any chance.
Right.
But after the week one of both teams, I completely changed my
mindset. Everybody did.
So to just sit there and say, well, I had that penciled in as a loss. Yeah, we all did. But not all of us had it penciled in as a loss heading into the game.
No, because of what happened in week one. And we made the classic mistake.
But you shouldn't do that or wash away a year's worth of analysis for.
But
and
we
I
do.
Think,
and that's
60
what we
minutes
do,
of football.
And
I think it all depends on everybody's, you know, Kevin, you bring up a good point. Do you still feel 2-2 would be okay going into the bye? Yeah, I think it all depends on what you want to be or what you're hoping to be. If you're hoping to be a deep playoff team, 2-2 going into the bye is probably not good. That means you lost to the two good teams and you beat the teams that you probably at home.
But
you probably
lost to your two division
home games.
Opponents on the road.
Right. That's and that's
but
bad.
But I think that's what most people
if you
want to
be good, that's not a good thing.
But
you're probably
not
looking
if you
at a
think
wild
the
card.
Dolphins and the Jets are playoff teams.
Yeah, I was going to say three out of those four teams could be playoffs.
We know the Patriots are not 16-0.
But that's what I'm saying.
Erase
it depends what you want to be.
Nobody on earth thinks this team is.
I'm not saying 16-0. I'm saying
I don't
a deep
think
playoff
on earth
team.
I think Paul's saying is he'd rather beat those kind of teams and have a fluke loss against, you know, the Lions
I'm
on Thanksgiving.
Is 2-2 that much to be happy about heading into the bye? That would mean that you beat one team that really has no business being on an NFL field with you, and you had a good win against Cincinnati.
Right. Well, I think
out of your four games,
I think you know if you're
for
looking
this
at,
team, I think that's good.
You know, we're biding time until the
defense.
Okay,
then that means that you're probably not going to be a threat.
For what?
To be a deep playoff team.
Well, I don't know who the deep playoff teams are right now. More and more, I don't know.
Right. I think it's going to take a while before we figure that out, too.
I know, but I don't have all the information that I'm going to have at the end of the year. I'm trying to assess
but you're
it now.
A young Patriots team. You may be different at the end of the year.
You're hoping in December you're a hell of a lot
you
better
than
in September.
You have more theoretical room for growth with this team than you've had in some past teams. Because you have all these guys that, you know, when Darius Butler is now starting his 18th game instead of his 7th, and when, you know, Devin McCourty and Patrick Chung are starting for the 15th week in a row, theoretically, they could be better players. You could be a better team.
Andy Hart, the voice of optimism.
I usually am around here.
I think you need to be 3-1 at the bye.
Okay.
Need for what?
To be good.
Nah, I don't buy it.
Well, to be considered good at this point in time, you're right.
You go 2-2 against three playoff
teams. 3-1, everybody would be thrilled.
No, if
3-1.
Look,
the Jets, Patriots, and Dolphins are probably not all going to make the playoffs.
Probably not, but that doesn't mean they're not all playoff teams.
Okay.
If they beat up on each other,
but I think Paul's point is, if they're 2-2 at the break, that's what they are. They're a 500 team.
Right.
But, you know, at the end of the season, who knows? You know, it doesn't mean that that's what they're going to end up, Paul. You're not saying that, right?
No, I'm saying that I think that that's what they'll end up. Yeah. Well, okay. They'll be an average middling team, and they'll win some, and they'll ride the Andy Hart roller coaster.
But which is what I'm still predicting. Which is why I'm okay with 2-2, because
I think they need to beat somebody. They need to show, you know. And I'm not overreacting to one loss. I'm just saying, before the season, when you pencil in the wins and losses, if they do that, that's what you expected, right? If it ends up unfolding like that,
right?
And I think most of us expected it to be sort of 10 wins on the high side.
Well, yeah, but right. 10-6 gets them into the playoffs.
Yeah, but possibly. If you go 2-2, I don't know if you go in 10-6.
But I think if you're coming up with that 10-6 record. Two of those losses are probably Miami on the road and the Jets on the road.
Well, it wasn't one of mine, but
really?
The Jets was, but
okay.
Miami wasn't.
Okay.
That's why I said I think you need to go 3-1 if you want to be a playoff team.
I guess a good way to look at it is if you come out 2-2, it's not a catastrophic start.
No, but I don't
you
think
you can recover
any,
from
2-2. I mean, I thought there was about a 10% chance of them being less than 2-2 at the break. I mean, I would have been absolutely
stunned
out of my mind if they lost to the Bengals in the home opener.
Yeah.
Really?
A lot of people pick the Bengals.
They never lose at home in the home. They never lose at home. Period.
And had that game gone about another five.
Unless
more
it's
minutes.
The Ravens in the playoffs.
But I think the odds of going the odds.
Do you really
of being,
think that? Do you really think if that
I
game went another quarter, they would have lost?
Yeah, I think Carson Palmer. Was
I don't think there's anything
it.
Cincinnati could have done to stop the Patriots that day.
I think there's a chance.
I think if the Patriots needed 78 points to win that game, they'd have gotten 78.
Maybe.
I agree with you. I don't think the Patriots
think
ever would have stopped Cincinnati again.
I
don't think the Patriots ever would have stopped Cincinnati again in that game. But Cincinnati would have never gotten the stop it needed to win that game, in my opinion.
We'll never know.
Or the three stops to get back into it.
Well, they really only needed one.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they kept getting within 14 if they could have stopped them. Now you're right back in the game.
Yeah.
Dismayed in Florida writes in, I think the last few years proves that Belichick is not nearly the defensive genius he's considered. Why can Ryan turn the Jets D around in 1 year or Pittsburgh and Baltimore be consistently excellent? There was an article on ESPN that suggested that the QBs have been having career days against the Pats for years. If it's not the coordinators, then it's the talent evaluators.
Yes,
either
it's
way,
the
it's Bill. By the way, shouldn't the top 10 draft pick Mayo be visible in games?
Wow. You're preaching to the choir here.
Boy, people are just really.
That's funny. Now it's the choir.
No, you put it so harshly. Elbow me when he makes a play.
I said,
let me
know when he makes a play.
You put it harshly.
It's true,
I'm just underwhelmed. The guy's a good, solid player.
And
you don't draft good, solid players with the 10th overall pick.
I agree with that.
That's the difference.
I don't think he's a stiff. I never said that. I just said I don't think he's a playmaker.
But you make it sound harsh when you
no,
say
No, I don't. I
when's
said the
last
same
time
thing.
Draw made a play.
Lynn
it's
writes
not harsh.
In,
last year when he returned from injury, forced fumble. Boom.
Lynn Lee writes in, I agree with Paul and Brady throwing to Moss. To start the game, Brady was throwing everywhere, and towards the end it seemed he was forcing throws to Moss. Was he and Randy being stubborn since the talk was about Randy being a slouch? Were the Jets just not letting Welker, Edelman, and the tight ends get open? It was annoying that he continued to throw to Randy. And Lynn is from South Dakota.
Well, he didn't throw that many to Randy. And as I said, I really don't have a problem with the philosophy.
See, the problem is
he threw more to Randy in the first half than the second
half.
Well,
that's
the
problem. It seems that way. He threw it four times to Moss in the second half. The problem is they didn't have as many plays. So it seemed like, as a percentage,
he went to Moss a lot, and he did because of they didn't have as many plays.
And but
it was only
the
four,
theory is
it
okay?
was only four times.
The theory is okay. Now I understand it's
the
not
theory
just theory.
Is very sound.
You have to actually look to see if he's open or has a chance to make a play. But the theory is they got a better matchup than they had to start the game. Take advantage of it.
I agree with Andy on that. We haven't agreed on everything in this show, but
no.
When Revis comes out of the game, I think it's a very logical point, a plan of attack to see if you can beat his replacement. They didn't.
He's not exactly shut down. He's
give Cromartie credit. He's not a stiff. We talked about this all offseason. Everybody made fun of Cromartie because the last time they saw him, he looked really bad on a 4th-and-1 run where he didn't make the tackle and then looked like an idiot chasing Sean Green. He is a far better player than Lito Shepard. That's the guy he replaced. A far better player. Now, is he infallible? No. I mean, the Patriots beat him a few times in the first half, right? Hernandez beat him on one play for a big first down in the first half. He's not perfect, but he's a better player than people think.
And I also think we saw it. I don't know if you saw it in Hard Knocks. He specifically talked about kind of flicking the switch on and off.
That's perfect for him, isn't it?
He flicked the switch for Moss. I you know,
wasn't that
I'm on an island now. What did he wanted to call it something. It was like Alcatraz and Cromartie morphed together. I forgot what he wanted to call his island. But
Cromartie?
There was something like that. And there was a challenge. Okay, Revis is out. Let me run with him and I'll
That's
and I'll
perfect for him.
Step up. And he did. Give him credit.
Yeah.
But I think he
I
can
give
go
him
the
a
other
lot of
way
credit in that game. I give him a lot of credit because you had mentioned the whole Sanchez thing early in the game. It could have spiraled, you know. He had a tough week one. Now Revis is out. There's a lot of pressure on him in the second half of that game. If he gives up a 70-yarder to Moss for a touchdown,
right.
What do you think the Jets are thinking? My God, Revis is out now. We can't move the ball on offense.
Right.
We, you know, our big second cornerback acquisition is a bust.
Right. And I'm more and more a believer in that whole one or two plays and everything else changes. I talked about it last year
with
the Ravens game. Had that game, you know, started a little differently.
Things
I thought
snowball.
This week, the Sanchez throw, even the bomb to Moss, if that's a big play completion,
absolutely.
With that crowd and everything that plays into it, could have gone a totally different way. And Bill's right. The more and more you see it. Single
well, look
play
at the other
there.
Way. That first play of the game where he overthrew Keller just a little bit and Chung almost intercepted it. Imagine if he had completed that. Now
well,
the Jets are rolling.
You know why I believe that theory more now? Because the games are in balance. They didn't used to be in balance by a single play. We got spoiled with, you know, 3 Super Bowls in 4 years, the 03-04 domination 14-2 when, you know, naughty Perillo over there at 3-0,
right.
Game over.
Right.
Yeah, because they were. Now they're not over when you go up 10 or 14-0 or whatever.
And all right.
Just totally
out of
different.
Fairness, I did give the nod to Fred in week one.
We know how
very
the,
quickly.
Right.
And I didn't give a nod this week.
But we now know what it's like to cover the regular teams that are a couple plays here or there every week, swings a game, and then that swings
and
a
season.
And
that's what teams used to say against the Patriots back in 03 and 04.
Well, you know what? When you make it every week, it's not coincidence.
But they don't care about the other teams the Patriots are playing. They only care about the game.
Right.
Tennessee used to do it. Tennessee was right there,
nose-to-nose
with the Patriots. One play would go the wrong way.
Would always bitch. Who was
it? Yeah, Zach Piller. They would always have something to say after the
a
game
pillar
was
of
over. Discontent.
How's meowness. That? I almost said it.
JR?
Another P
a
word.
Pillar of discontent?
I don't know.
I was going to go with Ryan's
your,
wussiness.
Your horns came through for me this week.
Yeah,
I laid
you,
the three.
You, have you laid,
I did.
The,
I laid
the
three.
Good for you. Hey, have you taken a look at the defense? Did you see the defense?
No, I didn't watch a play
you
of the game.
The game?
I have to be honest with you.
Well, the defense is going to be pretty good.
College
it already is getting good.
Night.
Already pretty good.
Not good for me.
Why? What are you doing on Saturday nights?
I don't like being up after midnight.
The game started at 7.
8.
It's a long
game. I was watching that.
Okay, even 8.
That Michigan
so
State
so that's
Notre Dame
a midnight.
Game.
That's a midnight
Paul's
special
an old
in college.
Man.
I am. I've
it
tried,
was an old
I've
man.
Morphed.
It was over by 11.
I've morphed.
It's, it was over
I'm an
by
old
11.
Guy.
You're an old guy now.
All right, John, you're coming up. John, what do you think?
About?
What are we talking about?
It's about your defense.
Open-ended.
The Bills.
The Bills?
No.
Oh, I thought we were gonna. I thought we were gonna kind of rehash and
Obama's aunt.
No.
I don't. I'm not sure that I can say anything, and it probably hasn't already been said, other than the fact that I'm extremely disappointed that knowing what we figured the makeup for this team would be, why didn't they just go full throttle offensively in the second half and basically try to outscore them? And yet they got away from doing the very same things that were effective in the first half of the game in the second half.
It just seems that way, right?
Seems that way. It was that way.
Well, we don't know what the Jets did to kind of give Brady a different look.
According to the players that spoke in the locker room afterward, from everything I've heard and read, not much.
That's true. Not a lot of changes.
They didn't
that
do a lot of changes.
No, I
common theme.
Look,
that is what they said.
The
but as
change was the result.
As you said when Tully Bantakane told you about
the
young guys.
I pick and choose when to believe, guys.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily buying. I think the Jets, they didn't, I don't think the Jets brought nearly as much pressure in
no,
the second half.
That I would agree with. That I would agree
and
with.
And I think they in brought, turn, that leaves linebackers in passing lanes right. across the middle.
They left.
Yeah, but it leaves you more time.
Well, in theory, it not only leaves you more time, it should allow you to get more, you know, it should allow you to get deep, and you were missing Revis in the backfield. So how does a team that misses Revis in the backfield suddenly get better?
Because Cromartie flicked the switch. He's a competitor. That's my belief. I think he turns it on and off.
I agree.
And I think he turned it on. He was put in the spotlight, and he said, this is my chance.
There's a good joke there
kids.
Somewhere.
He should turn it on more often.
All right. Well, John, you're coming up for a big 2 hours.
Yep.
So have a good show.
Yep. You're going to lead into
but
the
I'm just,
Shepherd
I'm just,
show.
I'm just a mere way station.
Yeah, you're keeping the seat warm for Petey.
Plenty of emails left for you.
Okay. So, for Rhode Island here in the afternoon here.
I know you like that. Rhode Islanders are going to dominate.
And then, of course,
the
first time the state dominated.
And then, of
in
course,
anything.
In anything.
Stay tuned at 4
for
o'clock
corruption.
For the debut of the
big in Rhode Island,
Pete
right?
Shepherd Show, immediately after John Rook's playbook. As for us, we'll see you tomorrow.
I had to get this.
State the obvious, I didn't get my perfect fantasy. I realize you love yourself more.
That'll do it. Another PFW in progress. We'll be back next week.
But we gave it our best.
Yes, and I guess your best wasn't good enough.
Patriots.com Radio.
I did my best, but I guess my best wasn't good enough.